Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
SleepBetterColumbus.com.
Hello, friends.
You're now listening to the Lifestyle, Leisure, and Sports Show you never knew was two of those things.
I think we can all acknowledge that if this fails, you two will be fired and I will remain. So, no pressure.
Bo Bishop, a regional media icon.
Winner of Emmys.
Purveyor of the good life.
Sir, you don't know that for a fact.
I just said it on the radio.
Also, two guys this company named Employee of the Month.
What are you talking about?
Paul Hogan is Hulk Hogan's brother.
Look it up.
Because it's Hulk Hogan. That's his real name.
One guy is from Australia. The other one is from Tampa.
You mean he's from Hollywood, brother?
Not brothers. Chops.
Yes, they are.
This is Bishop and Friends.
All right, let's do a live on a Tuesday edition of the program. Bo and the boys with you for the next three. Uncle Dom coming up at 10:33. We eat with the Real Truth at 10 o'clock. A little bit of Shelly time at 11:30. Last night we had, I had lacrosse for NBC, and then... And then when that was done, we had a little some practice stuff for Beamsy. And it was dry out, right? It was
dry.
It's been amazing. Yeah, they actually played on real grass.
Awesome.
An actual grass field. Like, that was... Hadn't been mowed, so...
I was going to ask you, did they keep the grass high or low in your neck of the woods?
For those familiar with the sport of lacrosse, when you play on turf, the ball really flies. I mean, it bounces and it's buoyant. And then you get on long grass that's wet or hasn't been mowed, and you really got to get down to scoop it because it stops. It just stops. So it gets lost a few times. Yeah, they have not mowed here yet at the homestead. And it's to the point where with the buddy, I now can trust him. I still do the walks, but I don't have to do it all the time. So if I have something that's stacking, like the boys had OST testing today, so they're, you know, panic, DEFCON 1, all of this, which is gross. They're just so gross, these OST tests, and the amount of pressure that are
on
the kids.
And they really matter, too. Just remember that. Tell your kids that people often ask me about my standardized test.
Your standardized
testing?
Even
now, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, how did you do in the fifth grade on your standardized testing? I don't know. I just put C on everything and hope for the best. We did Iowa Basics.
Yeah, I had that one, too.
Iowa Basics. Those are the only ones we did. We did those. And
Iowa's got the testing and the caucus. And they do. They lead the nation in those two things.
And the Drake Relays, right? That was the thing I always knew as a kid from Iowa, was the Drake Relays.
There you go. Drake University in Iowa. Yeah. So that makes sense.
There you go. So they're in a full-on panic on standardized tests. I told them, I'm like, they've been talking about this for 2 months. Like, you've done the homework. Think of it like an athletic event. Like, have you guys practiced? Yes. Okay. You're going to be fine. And guess what? Just do your best. I don't care. I don't want to wreck it. Well, my wife doesn't think we do the show till 10 o'clock anyway still, so she's not listening. But like, I don't care. It's fine. You're doing great. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. You're in the sixth grade. This isn't the ACT, the SAT. You're fine. So they were in panic mode. So like on a day like today, I can let him out and he'll just go handle his business on his own somewhere in the yard. But what that allows for me then is a scavenger hunt later. Because what I don't want is for the mowers to come and then to hit a buddy pile and then spread everywhere. So with the length of this lawn, they're hard to find. They are hard. They get buried.
Oh, you're like safarying through there. You need a machete to cut through it.
I know it. And he's got his spots that he goes to, but he's not as predictable as I wish. There's like five spots that he goes to. So every day, at the end of the day, I'll walk around with a shovel and find the landmines. And then I always think I'm do a very comprehensive full target search. I feel a lot like Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. Like, I'm looking everywhere, every outhouse, penthouse, all hen house, all of them. And yet yesterday I found one that was for sure from 2 months ago. For sure. And I don't know how I missed it. It was right in my path that I normally walk. So we got to get this stuff cut. So yes, the lacrosse was slow.
Have you not even cut? Like, have you at least cut like your front yard?
No,
really.
I don't have a mower.
Well, I've already cut three times at least.
See, I wish. Well, the wife and I talked about this because the boys are getting old enough to where they can operate things and mow things. So it is probably time where this can now be part of their responsibilities. I'm not sure if I'm ready to put Bootsy on a zero turn, but I think NBC could probably handle most of it.
They're young. Just give them the push mower. Not even self-propelled.
Mark, the push mower would take them until February.
That's okay.
Of next year. They'd just be pushing. Take forever. So in the midst of all of this, I was paying. I do find this, and I do thank Jody for this. I find the bottom race in the East in the NHL really fascinating. What Sid is trying to do in Pittsburgh over the last month. So he's kind of almost by himself trying to will them to the postseason. Like he's got 41 goals. He's got almost 50 assists. He's been unbelievable for the last month, right? And they might not get in. Right now they're a point out. Reese, can you pull it up for me? I think they're a point out of the final wild card spot in the East. They lost over the weekend, and so they may not get in. They need to win, and then they need to get a little bit of help.
Yeah, they got to get some help from Detroit. So they got 88 points. Detroit's got 89. Tampa. Washington's got 89. So
okay, so Washington and Detroit are both ahead of them. So do they have to both?
Rooting for Montreal Canadiens tonight against the Red Wings, and then it looks like you've got Philadelphia and Washington.
Okay. So you have two uninspired teams playing, two teams playing for their playoff lives.
You got a John Tortorella-led Philadelphia Flyers squad.
Yeah, they're cooked, though, right? Yeah. So, but he's
his young team has left him.
Yeah. So
John Tortorella.
Well, that happens. Mm-hmm. There's an immediate effect, and then there's okay.
Heard that before, right?
Yeah. Usually it takes a little longer. He did a great job this year, but there's always a ceiling on that. But I was thinking about Sid. So he's 36. He was the first pick in the 05 draft. He is a three-time Stanley Cup champion. He's a two-time MVP. He's a two-time playoff MVP. By any measure, he has met impossible expectations of him. And he was one of those kids, much like Connor Bedard and Connor McDavid. He was one of those guys that, like, in Canada, they're great at this. They can identify somebody at 13, 14 and be like, yeah, he's a dude. And then sure enough, they are. I mean, we've known about Bedard since he was 15, 16. And in hockey circles, probably earlier. And Sid was like that. He was someone that was like, this is the next Gretzky. That's what this kid's going to be. They identified him early. And then he went number one overall. He had some injury stuff early, some concussion stuff along the way, but by any measure has lived up to even impossible expectations. I don't know where you would, he missed so many games that he's not going to be there statistically the way that, say, Lemieux was. But I think anytime we'd have Jody on for the longest time, you'd say, who's the best player in hockey? And you'd say, Sidney Crosby's been the best player in hockey for like 10 years and best player in the world for like 10 years. And then conversely, tonight you have an NBA play-in game in the West. And LeBron James is in that game. LeBron James is 39 years old. Okay. He is a four-time MVP, a four-time champ. In 03, he was the number one overall pick in the draft. He's a four-time finals MVP. He, like Sid, was identified early and then delivered on all of it. And both Sid and LeBron had criticism early in their career because they couldn't pull their franchises up and elevate them. And then inevitably they both did. They go about it completely differently. I don't know anything about Sidney Crosby's personal life. No idea. I don't know if he's got a girlfriend, wife, nothing. Like, when's the last time you've seen him anywhere outside of Pittsburgh? It's like he's in Pittsburgh and Nova Scotia. That's it. I don't know anything about the guy.
I did see him once on the street here in Columbus when they were playing in the playoffs, so he was staying over for a day. Really? I was just driving down the street, and it was just a guy in a hat, and I don't know why I looked over at him. Then I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Sidney Crosby. And by that point, yeah, other people had realized and they were like going up to get his autograph. But you're right. You don't hear much from him. He plays hockey and that's what he does.
That's it. And has for now, I don't even know, like in Canadian circles, do they know like his personal situation's not? But whereas LeBron is all out there, right? We know everything about LeBron. He's put his whole life
the first
display forever.
The first line of personal life on his Wikipedia page is Crosby rarely discusses his personal life and avoids social media.
There you go. So they've gone about it in totally different ways. Both right, they're around the same age. They both were identified very, very young. And as you sit here now in the year of our Lord 2024, you say to yourself, it's about over for both, right? And they're both still great. Sid's got 41 goals. It's not his fault. They're not great. You know, they buried themselves early and they tried to dig it out of it here in the last 3 weeks. And they damn near did, mostly on his back. LeBron's still great. Didn't he lead the NBA in fourth quarter scoring this year at age 39? I thought I saw that stat yesterday. led the NBA in fourth quarter scoring at age 39.
All that stuff at the beginning of the year. Like, obviously, he took his rest days, but the idea that they were going to, like, manage his minutes down the stretch of games, they were talking about that at the beginning of the season. No, not once LeBron is locked in and wants to win in a fourth quarter.
No, and it's, how long can these two do it? How long can they be great? And then you start to think to yourself, who replaces them? In hockey, it's easier because they have a steady diet of, yesterday McDavid notched his 100th assist. So it's like him, Gretzky, and Bobby Orr, the list of, and Lemieux. Those are the four guys who've had 100 assists in a season. So he's ready. He just plays in Edmonton, and that's just obscure, right? It's just tough for the league that he's playing there. It's just such an outpost. In the NBA, I don't know. I don't know. We've talked about it before. Like, there isn't the next American superstar. There's not somebody ready to take that mantle the way that there was, post Magic and Bird was Jordan. Post Jordan became, there was a Shaq time there, but then Kobe came quickly, then LeBron almost right after. Kobe's in the 97 draft, LeBron's 03. So there was an easy torch passing that was allowed from Kobe to LeBron. I don't know who LeBron passes to, because Steph was there too, but who's next? I don't know. And we've had this 20-year run now from both of these guys in these two sports especially, and there's been others, where they've delivered on all of it.
It's interesting, too, when you talk about the NBA and the torch passing, because I think there are players who are candidates for it. But, hey, when you look at, like, Kobe LeBron time, Tracy McGrady was kind of a candidate for it. And we've had players like that pop up who, like, for a year or two, ooh, they might be one of the top three players in the league. They could have that future. And it doesn't always pan out for those guys. So, we've talked about Anthony Edwards. Could he be it? It's very possible. He's really exciting to see. But then times get passed over. Like, Damian Lillard, all-pro level guy. But he's a superstar.
He's a really nice player.
But he's not best player in the league that everybody's going to remember. My question to you as you're bringing that up, what's more egregious? Sidney Crosby hasn't won the Hart Trophy since 2014, or LeBron hasn't won the NBA MVP since 2013?
LeBron.
Yeah.
It's LeBron.
LeBron James winning only four MVPs and not one Reese the second time in Cleveland in that four-season stretch is stupefying.
It's a shame. I get it. There's just LeBron fatigue.
But what if I told you Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double because that's all he cared about that year?
Yep.
Right. There's a Westbrook MVP in there. There's Harden MVP in there.
Russ playing so well. Harden's playing so well. Yeah, but none of them at any point in their careers were worth more to a team than LeBron James was to his.
No. He should have had at least one more MVP in the second. He should have had an MVP at one point in the second Cleveland run.
Yep.
He drugged that first team that he drugged to the finals. I could make an argument he should have been the finals MVP in 16 when they lost. That was nuts what he did with that squad. Because remember, Kyrie got hurt. Kevin Love was hurt. It was like him and Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson.
Deli, I remember after it was either game one or two, had to go to the hospital after guarding Steph Curry. He needed an IV.
I would think.
Yeah, Harden won in 2018. And
don't gloss over that. Don't gloss over what you just said.
What, the Deli thing?
Deli had to go in to get an IV because he was guarding Steph Curry. Their answer to Steph Curry was Deli.
You Dellavedova.
And LeBron didn't win MVP of that series.
Joe Burrow's favorite NBA player.
Good Lord. But they're both. There's just been this 20-year run of greatness. And the two of them are kind of linked. They're very different in their approach. But we were told for both of them that when they were young, they would be great. And then they did it. And I'm just appreciative of it because it feels like it's coming to an end kind of for both of them, even though they're both still great. Their teams just aren't, they're not on teams of consequence at the moment. And it doesn't seem like LeBron's going to play anywhere else. And I don't think Sid's ever going to play anywhere else. It seems like they're both going to finish the way that they are on those two rosters. Speaking of rosters, Jake Diebler putting one together up the street here. We will get to that. The portal is open. Texas A&M, boy, the crazy thing is those guys can't go to SEC schools. So someone's going to pounce on some Texas A&M players. We'll get to all of that coming up off and running. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the Hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The uncle you never knew you had.
The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Oh, baby, the hoops action, it is heating up. And Tipico Sportsbook, the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook, the hottest promos, bet on select games, earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cash back in the industry, up to 5% cash back on your bets. Sign up now, enter the promo code THEFAN100. You get $100 in bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER for more. I remember this vividly, and I talked about it on the air. When I took NBC to Kentucky and we went to the Kentucky practice, one of the things I said is, when you went and watched them practice, they just looked like a team of pros. Like, they just were huge. They were lanky. They had guys who could shoot. They were big. They had depth. They had four guys who could really all play the point, and they could kind of play off each other. They just had a bunch of studs. It didn't manifest in the tournament, which manifested. John Calipari ended up at Arkansas and Mark Pope ending up at Kentucky. And what it did was it allowed for a harvesting of that roster, because there is no roster at Kentucky at the moment, and they're going all over the place in terms of some going to the NBA, some going to other teams around the country. And this is a great example of this. So I remember Aaron Bradshaw very well. He is an attention getter. He is 7'1". He is all of it. He is ultra athletic. He looks like a pro in every way possible. He's raw. He's a raw player. But he is a shot blocking menace. He is somebody who can dive to the rim and catch alley-oops all day long and finish. He was the number 5 center and the number 23 overall prospect in the portal rankings. He was a 5-star player and the number 4 overall recruit in the country last season. And he's now a Buckeye. So that is getting it done, Jake Diebler. We can talk about momentum down the line with Marcus Johnson and some of these other kids who've come in, who coming out of Ohio. That's in the so distant future in today's college athletics. This is for now. You start talking about Bradshaw and Akpara. That's formidable at the rim. That is a shot blocking presence. That's an enormous upgrade. And that's a roster that now is starting to come together, in terms of one that should be a formidable one next season. I love this get for Jake. He was here over the weekend. It's a home run. It quite simply is a home run for portaling.
Yeah, and we don't know what everything else is going to land in the portal, but Ohio State, with the improvement Akpara made throughout the season, and I was really impressed how much better he got throughout the year, and he's got that huge long block streak. I mean, their front court can be up there on those top lists going into the season. Again, we have to see where everybody else falls, but as of right now, it's not just that, though, too. It's the idea that Jake Diebler went out there, and that's what we said. Hey, you got to get this right away. You got to flip your roster right away and get some guys in here. And so far, his portaling has seemed more ambitious than it did under the last 2 years of Holtman. And yeah, so I'm very excited about the additions he's made. And he's still got two spots left open. After Zed Key left for Dayton, that left him with another additional spot. So they still got two spots. It does look like what we've been saying. They're still definitely looking for three-point shooting. And then after adding a 7-footer, guard would be the other focus. That seems to be the conventional wisdom right now. So keep your eyes open. But the Buckeyes, they've already got a pretty nice roster going into next year. And you can see that core and what it's growing into. And then hopefully Jake Diebler can get it done on the recruiting side, as we've talked about Ohio so much. But right now, as far as the portal goes, he seems to understand it, and that makes sense because he was so in charge of getting guys to come to Ohio State's campus over the last few seasons. Yeah. Now he's the head guy in charge of it.
Yeah, it's really interesting just how the portal has a way of kind of bringing players back to you that you never thought you'd see or hear from again. But with all the work that Diebler did over the past couple of seasons, he's able to kind of go back into, I don't want to call it a Rolodex because half of you might out there might be like, what the hell is that? But go back in to his contact list and say, hey, you know, it worked out here at their first school and now you're looking elsewhere. Try Ohio State. Like, now you need shooters. I think they've got two scholarship spots available. So you fill those with shooters, with combo guards that can hit from a lot of different places. Then you have a team that can really make a run of this thing next year.
That's critical. I still think they need to do, like, okay, what? It's all got to come together. They're going to have to build all of the chemistry and all of that. But just in terms of the look of it, to me, he still needs a dude who's a dude on the wing. Mm-hmm. So he either needs a stretch four or he needs, because I don't think they have one, right? I guess,
I don't know.
I guess Royal could do that a little bit. Royal could play stretch four.
Yeah.
If his shooting improves, he could probably play a little stretch four. But then you need another, you need a knockdown wing. You need someone who, when it gets in their hands, that thing's going down most of the time. That is something that is clearly needed. And then if you start checking those boxes, then you say to yourself, all right, you're talking about veteran point guards, veteran backcourt, because you're going to have Michi and you're going to have Bruce. Mobley's coming in. Okay, that kind of looks the part. You got some veteran leaders. Like, it looks like a team that could be in the hunt in the Big Ten next year with this addition of Bradshaw and Michi, who's coming in, who stayed, third year for Bruce. That kind of feels like a team that should be a top four Big Ten team next season.
Yeah, and with the way Akpara came on, and also we thought, you know, what was Zed Key going to do? But adding this guy, what's his name, Aaron Bradshaw, the 7-footer out of Kentucky, that to me says, okay, that's a nice little cherry on top. But we've circled that from the beginning, that they need a shooter because, yeah, right, the way the roster's coming together and the way they ended this past season, I do feel pretty good about this Ohio State basketball team, not better than I had entering the last two seasons. But I don't think that they can be in a position where it's like, okay, Bruce, go out there and score 20 for us because we got to win this game. No. I don't think that's the solution for them. So they need somebody who can come out there. And if you can come on like Jameson Battle did throughout the year, that'd be even better. But somebody who can go out there and hit those threes, because when they were losing games this past year, it was a lot of hero ball, chuck up a three, not making those shots. And they need somebody who they can go out there and count on. And then the guards can play guard and the big guys can play big, and you have somebody out there. It's a nice little balance, and so it's there. They just have to land the last couple pieces in the transfer portal.
It's interesting, like when you talk about, you know, like Bruce and having too much to put on his plate. Like you saw that manifested in January and February. You know, because when Jameson Battle wasn't shooting, that was it. Ohio State's offense was sometimes non-existent. I mean, there were stretches of five. Look, I don't want to do that to fans out there. It was bad. You've got to get portal additions to make sure it does not get bad next season.
Here's the thing to remember on Bruce. He will be more of a creator next year than a needed scorer. I think that's the intent. And if they land the next one more guy in the portal who can score it, that's a part of it. So he'll be more of a facilitator. And he's not going to be on an island anymore. Michi can play point. Mm-hmm. Mobley can play point. So he's not going to have to do everything that he did a year ago. Go ahead, Reese, real quick.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you're going to get a look at, what is it, November 4th? They're going to open the season against Texas at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. That news was out yesterday, too.
Oh, there you go. That's fun. All right, the portal, as we just hit on the basketball side of things with Bradshaw, is open. It's been open in hoops for a while. It opened in college football today. We do have one official Buckeye into the portal. It's the one that we know, but there are others, and the portal is starting to fill up. Especially, I noticed a couple of Texas A&M starters popped in. This is going to be a fascinating next week or so. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Common Man has spent the past 18 years telling you how much he hates people. And yes, that probably means you, too. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays at 3.
The Fan.
Hey there, friends. Bo Bishop here, and the hoops action is heating up, and Tipico Sportsbook is the best place to bet on the playoff action. Enjoy the most rewarding sportsbook with the hottest promos. Bet on select games. Earn a bet credit for each three-pointer made. Continue to rack up the rewards with the highest cashback in the industry with up to 5% cashback on your bets. Sign up now. Enter the promo code THEFAN100 to get $100 in bonus bets when you bet $25. Download the Tipico Sportsbook app today. That's promo code THEFAN100. Must be 21 or older, physically located in Ohio. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Well, here's what's up on a Tuesday. The NCAA transfer portal is open in regard to the football side of things. There's a bunch of dudes in it already. Within the last 24 hours, Tennessee linebacker Elijah Herring, he led the Vols in tackles as a sophomore last season. He's in it. There is the running back Penny Boone out of Louisville. He is in the portal as well. There's a couple of guys from Texas A&M, a safety and a corner. They had 19 guys transfer out of Texas A&M since November. Just an absolute mess there. But there's guys all over the place. And you say to yourself, okay, how do we manage this? Dallin Hayden in the portal, we knew that. So far, he's the only Buckeye that's in there. My guess is, I wonder what the process for this is like. Is it as simple as you put out your feelers and you see if there is interest out there. Because one thing about it, like if you do jump into it, I think one thing we don't talk about quite enough is that if you jump into the portal, the school doesn't have to take you back. In some instances, like if you jump in, it might be good riddance. We'll see you on down the road. So you have to be a little bit careful with that. And I don't know how clean that process is about a guy jumping in. We knew Hayden's been in that was since last week. So we knew that was the case, but I'm guessing you're putting out feelers and saying, hey, is there interest out there? What could I get if I get out there? That's probably the balance.
Well, it was interesting because when we heard from Kyle McCord last week, he said that he entered the portal without really knowing or hearing from anybody until his name got in the portal, and then his phone started blowing up, and even the Syracuse coach, Fran Brown, calls him up at noon that Monday, says, I'll be in Columbus that night, flies from Syracuse to Columbus just to meet with Kyle McCord. Like, this is on the span of 10 hours. So
jeez, can you imagine
that? I think in some situations... I think I should say McCord's situation's probably an outlier.
I agree.
I think to your point, even though most have an idea that I'm going to get some traction if they haven't heard from somebody or somebody's already.
McCord's, though, actually went the way the transfer portal kind of wants it to go. That's the ideal situation, is that you say, you know what, it's just not working out for me here. I'd rather be somewhere else. Put your name in it. Your information is out there and somebody can contact you. And that's what happened. But, Bo, I think the one you were alluding to there is probably more common, is that guys hear whispers. Guys hear from people, former teammates, former guys they knew on the recruiting circuit. Maybe even this one's illegal, but we know that it can happen because it happened at Alabama right after they Nick Saban retired, that people, coaches might contact you before it, and that might entice you to do it. And I wonder, too, like, when players enter the portal, what are those conversations like? And do they have a vibe of, you know, we had that Rodgers, that wide receiver who withdrew and came back to Ohio State. Do players know where they stand with that every time, or sometimes do they not? And do they look to go back and don't have an opportunity? But the problem is, I don't think we get those stories reported on, so it's hard to find numbers on it. Because one, a university doesn't want to display that we told a guy, actually, no, you're off, we're done with you. And then a player doesn't want to do that, to, you know, advertise that, like, he didn't find a home. And so I don't think we get the withdrawal stories, the people who go back. We obviously get the people who do transfer and go to a different school. But what about that middle ground of people who never find a home? Why is that? We know there are a lot of guys who don't. We know there are more people in the transfer portal than there are spots available on rosters. But why? And what are, like, the prevailing reasons for that?
Well, the other part of it, and I think you're going to have to see this at Ohio. I mean, I haven't done a scholarship number crunch at Ohio State because you don't really worry about that until next fall. So, like, I don't know where they are from a scholarly standpoint. Now, that's not as – it doesn't matter as much as it used to, because you can use NIL to get around scholarship in certain instances. I don't think you want to make it a habit, right, of coming up with the money that would otherwise be a scholarship. I don't think you want to do that at all. But you can, in certain instances, do that. But, like, this is one thing we talk so often about the guys that are jumping in. There are guys who are pushed in.
Yeah.
That happens a lot. So that's the other factor here, is you're pushed in and then what? So that's something I think we're going to have to watch for Ohio State, because where are they from a number standpoint? Like, Pantone's all over all of this. Like, there's no concern. But to this point, to only have one running back in the portal, to have five scholarship quarterbacks, those are atypical situations. So something to be monitored over the next day, the next weeks, as we see how this all shakes out. There was a big one over the weekend that was reported, and now looks like it's going to be. Penn State wide receiver Keandre Lambert-Smith led them last year in receiving and receiving yards, entered the portal yesterday as a grad assistant or a grad student. They don't have receivers anyway. And now he's in it. So when I see stuff like this, this is where I think of Alabama, right? This is where I think of Washington. I think, like, okay, we need some dudes. Let's get them in. Because remember, not only did we pillage Bama, but Texas did too. Texas got their receiver. There was another one who ended up at, I'm blanking on it, but they had a bunch of guys who were lost. So, like, is that where they can start to replenish? Because remember, Alabama can't replenish with Texas A&M. That's a sit-out situation. Mm-hmm. So these A&M guys that are in the portal, they can't go to A&M. So you're talking about the programs that would be of interest, I would think, like USC, Oregon, those would be those type of players. That linebacker from Tennessee, he can't go to an SEC school.
No, and that Keandre Lambert-Smith out of Penn State, he didn't even play in their spring game on Saturday. And
right.
In true James Franklin fashion, he was asked about it. He's like, I'm only going to talk about the players who played out here today. God. Okay, James. Thanks for that. But yeah, no, he's officially in the portal, and you're right. That's the exact type of player that the upper echelon especially wants. Okay, this is a guy who was the leading receiver on a good team in Penn State. This isn't just some average team. Yeah, and he could come here, and you get the, you know, he's a graduate transfer. You get the 1 year. It's the mercenary type thing, because most of them are not the Caleb Downs situation where you can go get a young player who you think is a stud. It's usually a guy who has improved over those years. We've seen that a ton through the basketball tournament, and I think it's also something that's very true in football. You were talking about the numbers for Texas A&M, and maybe it's 24/7, you know, it goes back a little bit deeper, but they have listed for A&M 23 outgoing transfers, but 24 incoming transfers.
Oh, gosh. Just,
like, to keep that in mind for people who don't remember, Ohio State, yes, it was a boon, so it felt like a lot. They only took 7. Now, yeah. A lot of guys returned, so they didn't have to do it as much, but this is the, I mean, we've seen it, but it's really stark when you actually lay down the numbers of what, like, a Colorado is doing.
That's what I want to see right now. It's funny you bring that up. I just want to know.
What, how many do they, but still, like, I mean, A&M, now they've been fully into this world for a while now, but 24 incoming transfers, I mean, that's a 30-year team.
4 Buffaloes in the portal. I'm just curious, I'm just going to go right now, we'll do it live on the air, I'm curious, we'll see how efficient their website is, I'm curious just how many kids Deion has on the roster right now. Let's see, let's pull it up, because he signed, what, 2 kids in recruiting? Remember, he doesn't recruit?
Yes.
No, he went to the portal to get a new offensive line in the last window.
According to 24/7, Colorado has added 25 transfers this season and has lost 20 players. So right in the same neighborhood as A&M for right there. But yeah, I wonder what their recruiting class looked like.
So they got D.V. Harris is one of their better defensive ends.
Their site sucks.
6.5 sacks last season, 15 tackles for loss. He blocked 2 kicks and had 3 defensive touchdowns in his college career. So he's portaling. But to your Penn State point real quick. And I know this is only 2 minutes of footage that was posted on Twitter, because I don't think anybody else watched the blue and white game. Mm-hmm. Did you see the Drew Aller low light tape?
No, it's a low light.
It's out there. There's a low light tape.
Wow. It's bad. I saw the going the other way. Somebody tried to put together a highlight tape, and then they mentioned the win. And I was like, you know what? You're playing in a spring game against your own teammates. I don't want to hear about the win, because we heard about the win from Ohio State.
Elements
side
are
too.
Not something you really want to use as a crutch in a spring game.
Not elements on a 60-degree sunny day. I don't care that the wind drifted down into the stadium and maybe made it kind of wind tunnel-y.
Well, and again, this is only 2 minutes, but these are 2 minutes of low, low, low lights. And some of these balls have the wind not affecting them at all. They're just poorly thrown.
Reese, you're telling me James Franklin didn't correctly develop a quarterback from freshman to his junior season?
Shocking, I know.
I'm not putting it on Drew Aller. I'm putting it on Franklin.
It's 100% on Penn State.
It's too much of a track record at this point.
Yeah. Way too much. Even as we were talking, I mean, like, they let Levis go. Like, even as you're talking about, even as I was bringing up Penn State with the receiver transfer, like, it just runs through my head, like, how long does Penn State put up with this? How long are you cool
with just mediocrity? We have this question multiple times a year. Since the show began in its current format, we've had it multiple times in a calendar year.
Don't you aspire to more?
No, they aspire to less. They're unrivaled. They didn't want to have to play a team every year. Like, I don't know if they like their position, but they seem to be, because we talk about it, and I don't think Penn State is, I don't think this is their limitation. We talk about, like, knowing your limitation, and they seem to be a team that, for some reason, has accepted a step lower than what their ceiling should be.
Yeah, I agree. This is my theory. It's my working theory. I think they're worried about becoming like Nebraska. I think they're worried that if they hire the wrong coach, they'll never get out of it. And he's good enough to win 9 or 10, and recruits good enough that they win 9 or 10, and they go to bowls, and now they'll be in the playoff a lot. And they're like, that's fine. We'll take that. Which is, to me, nonsense. I see no scenario where Penn State can't just be a minimal rung behind Ohio State and Michigan. They should be right near that.
It's like Michigan if they had stuck with Brady Hoke for fear of being Rich Rod again.
That's it.
But instead, you hired Harbaugh and won a national championship eventually and beat Ohio State 3 times.
Yeah, that's it exactly. All right, we'll keep you updated on this. There's going to be guys popping in throughout the day, and we'll let you know if any of them garner our attention in terms of perhaps coming in here or potentially leaving. Big night last night on the hardwood for, quite honestly, it was the story of the spring. We'll get to it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And, well, we smell a little, but whew, you've accepted that.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
The best hair on the air.
You are listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hey there, friends, and it's Bo here. Trying to tell you about my good friends at the Diamond Cellar. Been a customer for, man, well over 15 years. When I need something special, they take care of me. They take care of you. And this time of year is a time of giving. It's the spring giving season. Weddings, anniversaries, new babies, graduations, everything in between. Here to tell you firsthand, no better place to find the perfect gift for any occasion than Diamond Cellar. True Jeweler, they have the finest selection of luxury jewelry from world-class designers, or they can create something one-of-a-kind just for you. Go check them out. Diamond Cellar, Sawmill Road, Easton Town Center, or DiamondCellar.com for more. You had the WNBA draft last night. Caitlin went. How do they not have a 22 jersey ready?
Well, they don't know who's going to go number one.
How stupid. Like, that always drives me nuts. Like, you know what number she's going to wear. Like, they do a picture of her with a number one jersey, and it's like, why wouldn't you just not have the right jersey made? She's going to wear 22, I'm sure.
They didn't even have her jersey and be name ready. On it. At least
that's stupid.
The NFL, I think, does all ones, if memory serves correct, but they at least get the name on it. They must do the, whatever, you know, that little patch that they put on. They must do it in every color for every jersey for all the guys that they invite. But you'd think that at least you could get Clark on the back of the jersey. But you're right with that. I mean, we've known since she announced in February that Indiana was going to pick her number one overall. Never really wavered. There was never, nobody else ever even suggested anything else.
No, of course not. So just, I thought that, to me, that's pretty simple. Like,
it is one of those things, like, if you want to be taken seriously, you've got to do those little things correct. Like, they sold 1,000 tickets for the event last night. I think it was the Brooklyn Academy of Music. Sold out in 15 minutes. It's like, all right, then the little things also need to be there as well. And they missed it.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that was silly. J.C. Sheldon, unbelievable. Drafted fifth overall. Dublin girl, made more than good in her time here. Was a great, great player, all-time great player. She was drafted number five overall to the Dallas Wings. She is the first Buckeye since Kelsey Mitchell was the second overall pick with Indiana back in 2018. Celeste Taylor also went 15th overall, so there were two Buckeyes drafted in the same class. First time since 18 that has been the case. The WNBA season starts May 14th. What's a realistic number on this from a rating standpoint? Is it 2 million?
For Caitlin Clark's debut game, they play
2.5 million. It's going to be May.
It might be helped out that it's on the road, actually, because then if anybody does like care in Indiana, like they'll all have to tune in. They can't go to the game.
Yeah.
So that might help a little bit, but I'd have to look into what WNBA numbers are because I just have no idea. I would imagine that Caitlin Clark is not going to get we have a concert tonight, so this WNBA game is actually going to be during the day treatment very often, because that's stuff that happens every once in a while. There'll be like a WNBA game on at like 11 a.m.
Yeah. I don't know what their ratings typically are, but I know, like, you know, UFL does 900,000, 850, around a million. NHL's usually around that, which is something else to probably needs to be discussed, that when the NHL goes on nationally, nobody watches it.
Okay, TV viewership for an average WNBA game in 2022 is 379,000, and up in 2023 at 505,000.
Okay, so they're growing.
A million could be in play for like a debut game for Caitlin Clark.
Maybe 1.5 million, something like that, would be like the high end of what that ceiling could be. I saw last night the commissioner of the WNBA mentioned that they wanted to get to 16. Apparently, they're at 13. So they want to get to 14 teams and eventually to 16 teams. And she mentioned some of the cities. And, of course, there was nothing in the Midwest. And are we at the point where no one is going to put an expansion team in the Midwest for the rest of our lives? No one's going to move a team to the Midwest in the rest of our lives? I mean, these are all like second and third rung pros, but I mean, you're talking about WNBA. We had PLL last year. They all went to the coast, the lacrosse stuff. UFL or USFL or XFL, they've all ignored this part of the country and haven't put teams here. They've gone to the coast. I understand. Look, people are moving to the coast. They're moving south. I understand it. But it's pretty amazing that you're never even in consideration. I mean, you're talking between Cincinnati. I mean, Cleveland's got all that they can handle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you were redoing it, I don't think you'd have all those teams up in Cleveland.
We've got an arena here that would love another tenant.
Like, I agree.
That'd be great.
And I think it's crazy.
The Columbus Fury now, we got some tickets to give away for that volleyball match on Friday. Volleyball,
right. So, but, like, when is the last time you heard Columbus or, and I mean, the other one that it's stunning to me, Cincinnati just has the Reds and the Bengals. I mean, they don't even have the Buckeyes looming. They do have, I guess they have FC Cincinnati now, too.
But they don't have an arena, though.
No, they don't.
That's the issue. Because the Warriors in the Chase Center are where this 13th WNBA team, so I think that's a big factor to it, too. But obviously, Columbus has an arena.
Yeah, but it's just, when's the last time you heard anybody say, well, we're going to add a team in Detroit or a team like in this part of the country to just ignore it? It's constantly on the coast. And I understand it. Geography, you know, people, population shift, all of those things. But I just wonder if we'll ever see a move to this part of the country again.
Well, and now we're in a position where if I want to go see Caitlin Clark or Kelsey Mitchell or Celeste Taylor, luckily they're on Indiana and that's the closest team to us, but then I got to go to Indiana for it. Like, that's the only option that I have there.
I have absolutely nothing I want to do in Indiana.
Same, brother. I couldn't agree with you more.
Caitlin Clark trying to sell Indiana last night, saying stuff like, I wasn't too popular with the Hoosier fans when I was playing at Iowa, but let's hope that they can welcome me in, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yeah, but I mean, you're going to a team that hasn't made the playoffs since 2016, and even with Kelsey Mitchell has not been good in that time. Now, it should improve, but it's also Indiana still.
Don't they have the Boston girl,
Aaliyah too? Edwards, or Aaliyah Boston, yeah.
No, Aaliyah Boston.
There's an Aaliyah Edwards, player. Too, who was on UConn this year, right?
Sure.
But Leah Boston was the South Carolina. So, yeah, they played against each other in that Final Four last year, and now they'll be teammates. So, yeah, they've been bad enough that they've stacked two straight number one picks on a basketball team. That should be enough to turn you around.
Yeah, I think the one, you know, don't want to go too far down this road because I understand the audience is minimized with it, but it does feel like there is a lot of talent in that league, and expansion does seem like it would make sense. This would now be the time. Now, the mistake that you can make is thinking that what happens in college translates to that in terms of an interest. It won't, but you don't need all of it. You just need a little bit. You need a little bit of it. Second hour coming up next. We start it with The Real Truth, Bishop and Friends, right here on The Fan.
An encyclopedic knowledge of sports and other random things you may or may not care about.
I think I found my mentor.
Rockman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
Chen.
Bo knows many people.
He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Second hour here on a Tuesday. You guys put up the video, the Drew Aller lowlights. Look, he's an Ohioan. I'm not going to bury him, but holy hell, that's mind-blowingly bad.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's one or two throws. I mean, it's 15 throws. It's nuts.
No,
to miss that. And he looks just wildly uncomfortable in the pocket and everything. It's a mess.
Like I said, there were some Penn State fans out there trying to do the wind excuse, but it's not like the ball is just being taken in crazy directions. Well, yeah, maybe it had a little bit of lift under it, but I've seen quarterbacks not throw passes like that in windier conditions.
Wolfman, just think Matt. About ahead, if Bruce. An Ohio State quarterback that was supposed to start this season looked like that.
Oh, gosh.
You imagine the shows that we would be having? The shows that we would have had on Monday?
Maybe it's going to be that Bo guy who's going to start for him. He was apparently in the mix last year, according to Franklin, but I can't trust that guy.
You can't. No. Wolfman Matt with this, loyal listener, good tweeter. You read a story over the weekend about Penn State and Julian Fleming being a leader in the room because he uses a jugs machine. Apparently, Penn State receivers haven't used them normally to train. I had to make sure it was a real piece.
He's like a... He's like a prehistoric man coming over to a different tribe and teaching him what the wheel is or fire or something. Like, how do you guys not know this?
What is
the jugs machine?
We don't have we're not running those.
We had one at Centerville High School. It probably never dies that the wide receivers used. You're Penn State.
They have to.
They are.
And this is what they're
telling us that. They're saying they're linebacker you, but apparently not. basic football in 2023, you.
It's stunning.
2024.
Right, wait, you mean you can lift weights?
Let's hit the real truth.
Bishop and Friends present The Real Truth.
Sponsored by Diamond Cellar. Over 76 years of experience and guaranteed lowest prices on Sawmill Road or DiamondCellar.com.
Spring game heavy this week. We'll start here. Will Howard will be the only starting QB barring injury for OSU in 24. Is that the real truth?
I worded it this way on purpose just so I could say it's possible that there's a situation. I mean, I do wonder, like, would teams rest guys at some point, right? Because, like, hey, let's, you know, have to worry about it. I think it is the real truth. I think Will Howard is going to be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. I think that he's going to be plenty good enough with this roster. I think I'm cautiously optimistic with the headline on cautious. Underline it, highlight it based on some of the observations I had in the spring game. But I think they're most comfortable with him with this roster. And I don't think Julian's all the way ready. And I don't think the difference is big enough in terms of the highlights that Devin can bring versus the highlights Will can bring to go in that direction. They went out, they got him, they targeted him, and I think they're very comfortable with him. So I do think he'll be the only one barring injury.
Yeah, we keep using the term. It feels like deja vu of last year with Devin Brown and Kyle McCord and the competition, and it keeps going on. And it's why can't one of the guys seize it? And it's like, yeah, but if Devin Brown in 2 years of basically having the competition completely open and available to him also hasn't seized it, then I'd say go with the guy who you specifically went into the portal to get to be the starter this year. So I probably lean your way that this is the real truth. But I will hold the chance that Julian's saying, I mean, he's only a few months out of high school. If he keeps on improving and improves through fall camp in the season, and he keeps looking good in the season, obviously you can't get as many reps at that time. But if something bad happens, I could see a late season switch to somebody like Julian. But I think if Howard wins the job, Brown's not going to take it over at any point in the season.
I was waffling back and forth on how I felt about this. I think it's the real truth. Damn it, yep. It is the real truth, but that's as unsure as I've ever been about answering a real truth prompt.
What happened to your Julian saying for starter campaign?
So I took it out of the crock pot and it was not ready.
It's 2 more hours in the slow cooker.
It needed a lot more time, just like Julian needs a lot more time before he's going to be starting serious games at Ohio State.
Running backs Judkins and Henderson will both go over 1,000 yards next season. Is that the real truth?
Yeah, here's why. Because every time you hear from Ryan Day and every time you hear from a coach at Ohio State, you hear they're going to play 17 games. So, yeah, they're both going to go over 1,000 because they're going to play 16, 17 games, and that's easily going to get them there. So I don't think it's even – I don't think it's going to be close. I think one of them could be 1,200, the other one 1,300. But, yeah, there's only the two of them. With Hayden out, they're going to get the majority of the carries. They're going to rely on the running game a lot. And I think they both go over 1,000 pretty easy when you're talking about 16, 17 games.
Yeah, it's interesting because as you mentioned that with the amount of games. So 16 games, if everything goes perfectly for the Buckeyes, 62.5 yards you'd need per game to reach 1,000. At 17, only 58.8. So you're talking 60 yards a game from these guys if they can play in all of those games. And these are guys who are perfectly capable of eclipsing 100 whenever they're healthy and going into a game. So I think it's very possible. Plus with the one with still the questions around quarterback, and I don't know if the deep ball is ever going to be something that's going to be perfectly a part of this offense with the personnel that they have under center right now. And Chip Kelly likes to run the ball. So I think these guys are going to have plenty of carries, and they're going to have lots of opportunities to get to that around 60 yards a game to get to 1,000. I think that's very much in play. And they're going to be treated, it appears so far, and I think it's the right choice, 1A, 1B starters, that it's not a lion's share type deal for anybody in this. And then they're going to play the other guys because, like you said, they've been preaching depth in that 17 games. They want to play as many people as they can. But those guys are going to be the focal points of the running offense and possibly even the offense with Chip Kelly taking over.
It's the real truth, especially if they start games lined up in the T formation. You run all over people.
Put them both out there.
I think they will. I think you're going to see.
Why not?
I said this yesterday. You were going to see. You remember a couple of years ago when the Browns tried doing this where they had Watson and then they had Chubb on one side and Hunt on the other? And they were going to. I think you could see that. I think you're going to see everything that Chip Kelly has in the arsenal. And it's a deep arsenal with a ton of availability now, with a ton of talent in it. I think he's going to use all of it. I think you could see him. I could see Will Howard under in the gun. Judkins on one side, Henderson on the other.
Whenever I think about this, because I joke about, like, when the quarterback's not good, like, hey, just run a direct snap offense. And the reason that I do that is because in sixth grade, a team from the Dayton area won. I think it was just the local, like, Dayton Pee Wee Championship. But they went all the way to the title and played one of the Centerville teams, not one of the ones I was on, but they played one of the Centerville teams. And I believe they won. But either way, they were really impressive because they just said, we're not going to have a quarterback. So since I was in sixth grade, I've always loved that idea of, like, they literally just designed an offense where they just put two backs back there and just snapped it to one of them each time. I don't think it worked in sixth grade. Probably doesn't work anywhere else, but I'd like to give it a try with these two. Fox will be back next year for another spring game broadcast. Is that the real truth?
Yes. Did we get numbers?
I haven't seen them yet.
I guess I haven't looked for him. The sports media, the sports TV guy hasn't put him up yet, and usually he's the guy I follow for that stuff. So I have not seen them from him. But yeah, I think it was a hit. I think it was a hit in every possible way. I think it's a home run for them. I think it's something that they will continue to do. My hunch is the numbers will be solid and solid enough. And it's at minimal cost to them, right? Like, they have all those guys on their staff already. Like, they're all there. They're paying them. My guess is they're salaried. It's two or three assignments in the spring. Yeah, I think it's a hit. And it continues to boost something that they're partners with.
Well, and now that they have, like, the proof of concept of what it was, like, they can market it in that way. The, you know, unparalleled access to your head coach.
That was
live interviews during the game. Former players are going to get interviewed. Everybody loves hearing from former Buckeyes. Jeff Okuda and Denzel Ward were out there at one point. The Paris Johnson was there. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you can sell. And, yeah, that's great, like, for Fox. And that means we were talking to Feinbaum a couple weeks ago when you were on vacation. I was like, well, does that mean Alabama is going to be on ABC? And he's like, yeah, I think that's where we're going. And yeah, Fox did it. And we'll see what the numbers look like. But you have to take that through the prism of, well, you know, you're kind of just counting the fans of that team. I don't know how many people check out other teams' spring games, but if they're on network television, maybe sometime in the future.
I'm going to watch Michigan's.
Yeah, right.
I'll record it even if I can't watch it live. I want to watch it.
Because Fox's was so good. It's actually pretty. It's more. I will say this, while the spring game works a lot better in theory than it does in practice because it is practice and it just doesn't look that great. But with that stuff added on top of it, I'm more interested in hearing from Sharon Moore and seeing Michigan in their spring game with that layout than I am like an early season game against a MAC school for them.
For sure. Yeah. Think of it as a 2-hour TV show. Don't think of it as a football game.
It's the real truth. Next year, and then the year after, and then the year after, and then the year after, and until somebody else, like a Fox or a CBS, says, "Hey, no, we want that,"
yeah,
and takes it over. Now, I don't know if they're always going to do it spring game weekend, same weekend as the first round of the Masters, or the, I guess it would be the third round of the Masters. But yeah, this is forever because you get, in terms of a casual football fan, just parachuting in and viewing this thing. It was great. It's better than any UFL game you're getting.
The access to Ryan Day we've never seen before. And you're getting, we've never seen that. Like, you've never heard the head coach say, watch this. Like, you know.
Harder to keep that coach speak wall up when you're out there on the field coaching your team in the middle of a practice.
100%.
Brings us to this one. They should get rid of scoring and just have an open practice to end spring football. Is that the real truth?
All right. So this is, yeah. No, they shouldn't have an open practice. They should do, you know what it's like, guys? It's like the Pro Bowl, right? So the Pro Bowl, they do all those skill competitions, and it still rates, but we still like to see games, even if they're not really games. So they're going to keep the scoring, and I just think no one's ever going to pay attention to it. And I don't think I want to go open practice, because then you get into the situation where you got 7-on-7, and you've got, you know, receivers running drills. Like, I think it has to have elements of a game. It has to be 11-on-11. Although I guess we started it with one guy kicking off to one return man. So that wasn't exactly game-like. But I do think that you have to keep some semblance of game. I think they will always do the scoring. I just pay no attention to it.
Yeah, I think it probably also lights a little bit of competitive fire. Oh, I'm on the gray team. I'm on the scarlet team. I want to win. So I guess it's there. I just don't. Yeah, it just doesn't seem necessary because nobody seems to pay attention to it. So if there was some sort of hybrid model where, no, I don't want the practice where it's each individual station and they're moving around and they're doing this different team things and the offensive line's over there working on their own thing. But could it just be a scrimmage where, like, we don't, like, because the we were talking about how good the two-hour TV show can be.
Yeah.
Do we really need to focus on it like that there's times with quarters and that there's down and distance? Like, does anybody, like, I think all that stuff could be stripped down and we just watch Ohio State's offense play Ohio State's defense.
Yeah.
I think it's not the real truth. I think back to the casual fan, they got to have a score. You got to keep score.
You're probably right.
It doesn't
People
matter.
Want, yeah.
Because like we said yesterday, the defense won the day yesterday. Yeah. But you've got to have something that tells the fan, okay, what's going on with this? If they're just popping in for 20 minutes, all right, what's the score? Help them better understand it, or at least give them something to give a hoot about.
I hope it. I wonder if at some point you get to a point where they actually split the teams. I don't think you ever will. They used to do that. I mean, that's what spring games used to be. You kind of used to do a draft, and then you'd split the teams and play a game.
Yeah, but now they want ones to go against ones and twos against twos. And the weird thing about that when they split up offense and defense that way is technically Devin Brown is the third quarterback we saw because they wanted him to play with the ones. That was very strange.
I had somebody was confused by that because they go, wait a second, Lincoln Kienholz passed Devin Brown. I'm like, no, he's quarterback in the twos.
Yeah.
In that,
yeah, like
that
I area. Figured it out, but I could imagine there were people who were like, well,
like what happened?
Lincoln Kienholz is out second,
right? Yeah, no, but it was so that's one of those things that I think Reese brings up a great point. Sometimes we view things through our prism and forget the casual fan is the majority of the audience, and the way that they view it is very different than the way that we would view it.
Most casual fans probably do need that score bug on the bottom of the screen.
I think they need to. Oh, okay, this is a game
time quarter. What's going on?
Yeah.
All of that stuff, I think, is important for someone not like us who doesn't consume this every day, all day.
Yeah, I agree. All right, we'll put the spring game to rest. Some other winners and losers from the big event over the weekend. That's coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Wake up with The Fan. Eat lunch with The Fan. Go to bed with The Fan. Dream about The Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
It's your Uncle Bo here. Want to talk a little bit about love. Erectile dysfunction can be an absolute relationship destroyer. It can lead to divorce, separations, anxiety, all of it. There's frustration that comes with it. Sometimes it can manifest on your partner, and it can all start with ED. You can get some help. My friends at Tri-State Men's Health, give them a call today. So many men out there, mediocre sex life, just not good enough. If you find yourself going down these paths where the pills and supplements aren't working, there's much better help out there with Tri-State's Men's Health Treatments. They work where the pills and herbals fail. They have treatments with success rates over 90%. So do yourself a favor. Schedule a consult with Tri-State Men's Health here in town today. Your initial visit, just $99. Includes a medical consult, licensed medical provider, a T and PSA test. And if you're medically advised, a test dose. If that test dose doesn't work, that office visit is free. So it's a no-lose win-win for you. Give a call today. Get your sex life back on track. 800-900-9654. Visit TriStateMen'sHealth.com today. When you think about now what? You've got a portal open. You've got a summer. Portal closes May what? It's second week of May? Early May? It's like a month, right, that it's open?
I think so. I thought it was
closed?
I thought it was only open until like May 1st. Open? I thought it was 15 days.
Yeah, the other thing is it's unenforceable, right? So,
This is only to jump in. Obviously, guys can jump out and go to their new school, so they get those days to go. But once you're in it, and you can leave it whenever.
Dispatch is saying April 30th.
Yeah, so
it's just 2 weeks.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be like a 15-day window, which again, as they keep talking and like doing stuff on their calendar, this doesn't line up academically at all.
No.
So why do you keep pretending like that matters? Why do you keep telling us that matters?
I would assume like that spring semester for most schools would end middle of May. Is that still like the academic calendar in college?
Graduation's like the first or second week of June generally. From what I remember,
it's usually done well before Memorial Day, right? College?
No, not anymore. Not in semesters. If you're in quarters, it is.
Oh, okay. So now that you go through May on the semesters?
But there aren't very many quarters schools left. Ohio State used to be on it, and so they'd play like two games before the school year even started.
Yeah. We were semesters, but and we were always done. I mean, that's 20-some years ago, but we were always done in the like the middle of May, like the school was done on the semester.
Maybe it was done by Memorial
Day. I'm looking at Ohio State's spring commencement for 2024 is Sunday, May 5th.
Really?
Okay, so they're done like end of April.
Because that was, Chops, did you go when they were in quarters?
No, okay, maybe that's what I'm getting mixed up with. Maybe my brother's graduation was in quarters and was that much later. That's what it is. You're right, it was. I didn't graduate. I graduated in winter commencement.
So same.
It kind of got away from me there. But now that I think about it, the day after J-Lo and I like had our first date, she graduated. And that was right at the beginning of May.
There you go. Yeah. So I guess in a sense, then this does sort of add up to that calendar, because if it closes, then you have basically, but again, not in the sense of you're paying attention to academia, right? Because if you are, this would be the last 2 weeks would be all finals, your final tests, your papers, all of that stuff would be done in the next 2 weeks. And instead you're trying to figure out where you're going to play next year. So ideally this thing would open at the beginning of May and close like May 15th.
That would be a better window. Lots of people are still practicing right now. They didn't even wait until the end of spring practice.
Yeah. 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 It's first of May. So that's the way that it goes. When you think of this spring at Ohio State, Is it possible even to have the conversation, we'll try right now, without the quarterbacks being front and center of it? Because I don't think that it is. I think it lingered throughout the entire, some of it's us, because it's the most important position in sports, and it's what we're all curious about. And it's funny, anytime Ryan Day, we would take him live here on our show or an AR show and with Maddie, and I would listen, you know, you're just locked into any of the quarterback questioning, trying to find some sort of kernel of truth in all of there. And then someone inevitably would ask like a question about the right side of the offensive line. I'm like, oh, who cares about that?
I do.
I know, right? We all, it matters, right? All of it matters. But at the same time, like the quarterback thing was over this entire spring. It'll be over the summer, and we'll see if it's over fall camp as well. I think the overwhelming story, though, outside of that, when you think about what is going to be the biggest difference maker for next season, it's the amount of talent on this defense. And it's year three with Jim Knowles. That's the thing that jumps out to me. Yes, Jeremiah Smith, he's going to be a dude, all of those things. Brady Quinn compared him to LeBron James on the telecast in terms of his physical prowess. And I saw our buddy Brandon Marcello wrote about him today at 24/7. We had him on Friday, and he was all in the Kentucky stuff, so we hadn't locked into it yet, but it's starting to happen with Jeremiah Smith. But it was the defense. It's this Ohio State defense. It has the potential to be one of the most dynamic ones we've had since probably 14-15 in that stretch. There really are no holes. It's year three in a system. The one thing that Jim Knowles kind of needed to play the way that he wanted to was a human eraser on the back end, and he got it in Caleb Downs. You look at it, every level of it, dominant up front, dominant at linebacker in the second level, dominant in the secondary. To me, that was the number one takeaway was, my God, we've got a defense that's going to punch you in the mouth and that is going to be feared. And we haven't had one of those in a while. We've had individual players. We've had Chase, who was that way. But you think about the NFL players at every level, it checks every box this year. That's probably the biggest takeaway from spring is that the combination of portal, guys returning, and it looks like they've hit on recruiting, that defense is going to be nuts.
Yeah, the defense really jumped out off the page to you on Saturday. And then it was even as the game went on, because they've been preaching depth so much that like this year's spring game, even though it's not that entertaining, but seeing some of those young players, it's like, hey, who knows? Maybe some of these guys end up on the field. And the defense stayed at what to me looked like the higher level throughout the game. Now, that last interception was Aaron Nolan trying to make something happen. He kind of just threw it up. But what I really liked from it was all the guys in the gray jerseys running off the sideline and running down to the end zone on that final play of the spring game. And that to me says, one, that they're together. That's good. You expect that at Ohio State. But I think they know that they're good. And it's bad to think you're good when you're not. But when you are good and you know you're good, that can be a real difference maker. And I think that's what we have set up with this defense right now.
I just keep going back to watching Saturday, how if it's supposed to be like your simple, your most basic defensive schemes, and you're able to generate pressure and you're able to generate confusion with simplicity because you're so talented. What happens when you start to really dial it up? What happens when you really start to put pressure on some of these guys? If we're looking at Drew Aller as the name, one of the names in Big Ten quarterback play, this league's in trouble.
And what happens to opponents when they're not throwing to Emeka Egbuka and Jeremiah Smith? Right.
That's the thing. They're able to shut down talent like that during a spring scrimmage. There's nobody else in the country right now that has the quality of receivers Ohio State does in that room.
Oh, gosh, no. No, you're... Look, you built this defense to go beat Georgia. That's what you built it for. I mean, that, you know, J.J. McCarthy's not at Michigan. There's nothing to fear at Penn State. There's nothing to fear. I mean, Caleb Williams isn't at USC.
Curtis Rourke's at Indiana. Maple Missile.
There you go. The Maple Missile. Oregon will be feared. Mm-hmm. You're going to fear Oregon up there at Autzen. Dylan Gabriel. He's played a lot of football. They'll be ready.
It's Cade McNamara at Iowa.
Running it back at Iowa.
Hey, they got a new offensive coordinator. So
is Iowa on the schedule?
Yeah, they play. They play here
the week before Oregon, October 5th. So the Buckeyes don't see the they do see the Hoosiers November 23rd, the weekend before the game.
Who's at Wisconsin? Is that where Van Dyke ended up?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because they had Tanner Mordecai at SMU last year, and now they're rolling with Van Dyke. It looks like
there's your life comes at you pretty fast, right? A year ago, Alabama's trying to buy you, and now you end up at Wisconsin. He really hasn't been good since, his sophomore year there?
I think it was his freshman year.
Was it his freshman?
He had his second year was just okay, and then last year he eventually got benched.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll tell you, let's get into this coming up next. Michigan spring game is Saturday. How much pressure is on Sharon Moore? And did you see the video of Harbaugh peacocking around the campus this weekend at Michigan? He was there for pro day. It's unbelievable stuff. We'll get into it coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Join Bobby Mack and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge.
A behind-the-scenes look at all things Blue Jackets.
Wednesday night at 7.
Your home for Jackets hockey.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
After putting up with Dom DeBerry for a decade, the broadcast gods gave Bo these two. This is Bishop and Friends.
I think we nailed it. And I think it was kind of proven over the weekend. I had somebody ask me over the weekend, is Michigan ever going to get got? And I said, I don't think so. I really don't. I don't think there's going to be much in terms of a penalty for them. And we use the analogy when it happened, when he went to the Chargers. He's Danny Ocean, man. He's absolutely Danny Ocean. That's what he is. He pulled off the heist, and he's going to go and he's going to go live his life now. And the difference is that he's not going to have Andy Garcia hunt him down for the second one. That's not happening. There's no one to get him. He won the biggest way possible. He got away with all of it. Not getting. He got away. They're not going to get him. He's coaching the NFL now. And to what end does the NCAA try to punish Michigan? My guess is minimally, if at all. I don't see any scenario where the NCAA, who has no teeth and is a paper tiger of the highest order without any sort of subpoena power, is going to come down hard on Michigan. What would you even take from them? They're not going to take the national championship. We know that because that's already happened, and they have no jurisdiction over the college football playoff. Scholarship restrictions aren't really anything anymore anyway. When it comes to NIL, you can get around that. So the worst that they could do is try to tell Sharon Moore he can't recruit in certain places or he can't leave campus. Would that do the most damage to the program? And then who does that hurt? The people that are there, some of them were there, some of them weren't. It's not a totally new, but it's a new operation. My hunch is nothing really happens here.
It's the one of the problems with the college model is that if the guys leave, there's not really a ton you can do to punish the actual perpetrators of the rule breaking, and that's been a problem in college football this entire time. And so I had this in Thing or Not a Thing, but I think it's appropriate now. So Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, he will not be a part of the negotiated resolution between the NCAA and Arizona State, tied to the almost 3-year-old case that's nearing a conclusion. So this goes back to Herm Edwards bringing guys onto campus or whatever, some sort of recruiting violation during the dead period of COVID, right? And Antonio Pierce was their defensive coordinator at that time. And I was reading through the story, and it just basically says that hey, it's likely that the punishment is going to be that Herm Edwards, who works for ESPN now, is going to get a show cause. And they were like, maybe Antonio Pierce could get a show cause. And it's like, they don't care. Like, that, like, how does that work? How is that your punishment system? And it's because it's funny. I think that they would have like a little bit, if they went and professionalized it a little bit more, they'd have some ways to hurt teams that didn't seem so random and at other times punitive to people who didn't even commit any of the offenses. But when they're not professionals, there's not a ton you can do. I mean, besides
I think you hit on it. Yeah. Look, this is the thing that nobody in the sport, the people who run the sport don't want to talk about, but they have to, and Bjork alluded to it. The only way to get control and to get power back, and that, rest assured, that's what Saban wanted. When he's been making those comments for the last, I don't know, 5 years about, hey, we got this NFL model looks pretty good. He's not doing that so you can have a salary cap to pay third team guards. He's doing that so he can have control back. He wants control back of his sport. The NCAA wants control back of their sport. The coaches, the ADs, they want control of their sport. Well, the only way you can get it now, because you get spanked every time you get in front of a judge, is to go professional. And then there will be something collectively bargained that they're going to have to abide by. And then there are rules to it. Just like there are rules in the NFL with a salary cap, in the NBA, if you go over the cap, you got to pay a tax. Major League, all of them. They all have penalties for it. There are things that you can't do. And that's what... That, to me, is why I'm surprised that they keep dragging their feet so much on this, because they keep getting spanked in court. The control gets less and less. Their power is next to nothing. The NCAA power that they would have it's almost only hoops. You could ban teams from the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But the hell, they didn't even ban Kansas. They had them dead to rights. Ban Arizona. They had them dead to rights.
There's eventually going to be a football team with an ineligible player due to NCAA rules that they're just going to play.
And I would.
Their conference, or, you know, maybe they'll have to get like word from their commissioner or something. But as long as their conference is okay with it, then what are they going to do? NCAA doesn't own the horseshoe. Buckeyes do. You can't put a lock on it like a Coach Carter and tell us, hey, it's closed today. You can't come in. No, that's, and it's funny because reading with that Herm Edwards and the Arizona State case, it's almost 3 years old, as it said. Is it going to be a completely different model by the time they even come down with anything for Michigan and decide what they're going to do? And then at that point, what is it? Is it even the NCAA? And does it just, that's again, the idea of like, yeah, they might just get away with it completely, because who knows if the NCAA gets to the end of it before the NCAA is obsolete to college football.
It'll be really interesting as we kind of go into the Ross Bjork era. So Gene's out the end of June. Like, Gene would play ball with the NCAA if they were to come a knocking. Ross Bjork just might be like, nobody's home, new phone, who dis?
Oh, I think we saw that, right? I took note of that. We talked about that the day after his introductory press conference. That didn't sound like anybody we've had running the athletic department here before. We'd never heard that. You know, those type of talks from the athletic director of Ohio State. We'd never heard that before. That's different. So, yeah, I think they're all aware of where you're at. And I think Top Gun Ted at the tops probably feels the same way.
Yeah, and I think
they're all aligned.
I think it's starting to roll a little bit this offseason. You mentioned Saban, and Harbaugh was actually very outspoken about getting the players paid. But then you've got Ross Bjork, and we've heard it a few other places. People are starting to say out loud that, like, no, this current model can't be saved. We need to be proactive and push forward and come up with something new that works for everyone. And we're going to get that. I've told people that, like, it is a when, not if, players will be paid at some point at this
yes.
point.
Yeah, it will. So Michigan will have their spring game. You know, it's funny, you go Finebaum. Well, I'm going to save that. But you think about Michigan's spring game, and you think about, They're in the situation where it's probably the best example of that. And I understand they don't see it from this way, so I get that. But you make the deal with the devil, and then now are the consequences of it, right? And by consequences, I mean, do you think if all of this wouldn't have happened that they would have gone with Sherrone Moore to be the head coach at Michigan to follow Harbaugh? Probably not. I mean, you think you probably would have tried to find someone who had coached before. I'm sure they looked at the success that Ryan's had down here, but so much of that's the infrastructure. Harbaugh took a lot of his infrastructure guys. He's still coaching, so he took a lot of them with him. So this is Sherrone Moore, who's never been a head coach, putting out a staff on the fly because he had a great on-field press availability after Penn State win. It feels like that's where he got a lot of his juice. For them, it was, Reese.
Yes, for them, they can rally.
They loved it.
The Michigan man can rally
Michigan
behind
man
that.
Love that.
But they not every player it. You're recruiting or you're trying to get out of the transfer portal is a Michigan man. So is that going to work for him long term? But, I mean,
I don't
if
know.
You keep going down that hypothetical, does Harbaugh even have the Chargers job if they don't do all this? Because then does he even, like, do they keep improving
no,
the way they
no,
have?
Because,
settled? Like, it's
no, because he doggedly pursued the NFL for years.
And they turned him down.
And they turned him down. So, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's it at all. So, no, there's a lot of things that happen because of that. And now they're in this position where you think about what they are next year. I have no idea.
How long is the leash for Sharon Moore, too? Like, would it only take 2 years of average play and they'd be like, we got to move on?
They know better than anybody that you can't drift too far too fast. They know. They lived it. So I can't imagine being a couple of years if he falls on his face. Their most recent recruiting class was 16th. So in the Big Ten, it was behind Penn State, obviously Ohio State, and in this region, Notre Dame.
And that's a weird one because that's not even really Moore's class.
No. No, but those kids could have left. Oregon was third, actually.
Yeah, but those kids... because, like, does Alabama still have credit for Julian Sain?
I think they do.
He was on campus, and he technically transferred to Iowa State, so that's another thing with recruiting rankings.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They do. So, yeah, they do. He's one of their five stars. They still... And he's here.
So he's credited for the same year as a recruit to Alabama and a transfer portal, whatever the recruiting rankings they do for that at Ohio State.
By the way, on the 24/7 transfer portal ranking, Caleb was number one.
Mm-hmm.
There was all Alabama guys, but like he was like seven on the transfer list. But he was the number one recruit. Number one recruit. Number one quarterback in the country.
That's an exchange rate. You just have to deal with it.
I guess so. Little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Friends are here on The Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts.
Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan,
Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
I turn a little thing or not a thing. Hit it, fellas.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Apex Plumbing Pros.
First up today, this string of tweets from Woj. One.
All right.
Phoenix Suns guard Grayson Allen has agreed on a 4-year, $70 million contract extension with a player option. Mitch, Nathan, Aaron Mintz, and Stephen Heumann of CAA Basketball tell ESPN. Second one. Allen's had a career year leading the NBA in 3-point field goal percentage, 46.1, and avoids free agency with a deal that'll cost the Suns $79 million in salary and luxury tax in 2024-2025. Here's the third one. Suns owner Matt Ishbia is running his projected 2024-2025 payroll to $206 million, with another $104 million looming in luxury tax. To keep the core together, he will be paying the league's largest tax bill. Extending Allen was vital with limited roster flexibility under rules of new second apron. Thing or not a thing?
Aren't they like the 6 seed? Or the 7 Phoenix? With all those guys, they went and got Beal. They went and got...
And they want to overpay to run it back.
And they want to run it back.
6.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, if they get healthy, man, they could be the 1 seed.
No. Yeah, but big if. I don't know if Durant's been healthy for a decade. I think the... this is what it reminds... You remember when Ballmer did this with the Clippers? When these ultra-rich guys get a hold of these NBA teams, they can't wait to like throw all the money around and take all the tax bills. Well, who's the Russian guy who did it with the Nets?
Provorov.
Remember that legend?
Yeah.
Who was like the jet ski champion. It was like the Russian
Prokhorov,
Kenny Powers.
Maybe.
Yeah. And then he bounced out of them once he realized, well, this sucks. I can't buy championships. What's the fun of this? This never works. It never does. Unless you already have the established guys like Golden State did, or like when the Cavs did it, to pay these big...
Maybe that's why he wants
bills.
To do it, because his buddy Dan Gilbert did it and was successful with the Cavs. And he says, I can do it better. I can spend more in luxury tax.
This is what I was going to say. The biggest thing about all of this is that two guys in the mortgage business are both multi-billionaires, and they both went to Michigan State, and they hate each other. What are the chances? Wild. That is wild.
So I'm just going to pull a live one here from On Three. Former Alabama, Iowa offensive tackle Caden Proctor has officially entered the NCAA transfer portal with a do not contact tag.
Yeah.
And that's from On Three. And if you go to their portal page, it says Iowa and then two undecided. Thing or not a thing?
So the funny thing about, we all know he's going to Alabama, obviously. Yeah. The thing that's most amazing about this is basically he went on spring break.
That's what I read.
Spring
yeah.
break with his Alabama guys. I read that too. He went on spring break with his Alabama friends. Like, dude, come back. And he's like, okay, I'll come back.
Yeah, I got a few, I don't know, $100,000, whatever the swarm got him yeah. when he first got there. And he's like, yeah, that was a nice little paycheck. I'll go back. Second time he spurned Iowa, was committed to them and flipped to Alabama on signing day. Then transfers back after a year and doesn't Jeez. Even really go through spring. He was already, like, I mean, he officially entered the portal today.
He's an Iowa kid, right?
Yeah, he's from Iowa, so... His parents
not too popular in the Hawkeye State.
No, I don't imagine that they're going to be able to go to any games at Kinnick anytime soon. I don't understand why do not contact is an option in the transfer portal. Isn't the whole point of the transfer portal to be, hey, here's my contact information, I'm available, which teams want to, you know, try to recruit me again? Why is do not contact even, what are you in the portal? I know what he's in it for. I know that. Sure. I know the real truth of it. But yeah. why would anybody be in the portal and not want to be contacted?
Unless then you're just quitting just for the football? Reason, I guess the reason that it's being used here, where you've already made the decision, hence the idea that you can't recruit guys who are on other rosters being continually ignored.
Shouldn't that be against the rules of the transfer portal?
Of course. There are no rules.
It's the portal.
It's lawless.
That's true. From Scott Docterman, friend of the program, only two schools nationally have first-round selections in the most recent NFL, NBA, and WNBA drafts, Iowa and Ohio State. Iowa's Caitlin Clark went number one overall to Indiana, while Ohio State's J.C. Sheldon was drafted fifth by Dallas in the first round. In last year's NFL draft, Iowa defensive end Lucas Van Ness went to Green Bay, linebacker Jack Campbell to Detroit. They were first-rounders. Ohio State's first-round haul included quarterback C.J. Stroud to Houston, Paris Johnson to Arizona, and Jackson Smith and Jigba to Seattle. In the 2023 NBA draft, Iowa forward Chris Murray was drafted by Portland and was picked 23rd overall, while Ohio State had Bryce Sensabaugh picked 30th. Thing or not a thing?
Is this your latest attempt to say that Iowa and Ohio State are the same?
No, I just thought it was interesting that those two both came up on this list. Yeah. Ohio State much more likely to end up on the list in any given year than Iowa.
Yeah, here's what it tells me when you do that. It tells me that the Ohio State football program and the Iowa football program are very healthy. The two women's basketball programs are really healthy. But that if you have first-round picks in basketball, you ought to win more than the Buckeyes have won, which is why Coach Holtman's not here.
Speaking of C.J. Stroud, before he threw out the first pitch Monday at the Astros game against the Braves, met with the media while checking in for Houston's offseason program. In that session, a reporter asked him to put on his GM hat and said, who should be wide receiver one, and why should it be Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Why should it be Marv? Put on the tape. he's done it from really his freshman year, his true freshman year, to now. I think I read something like he's NFL ready, but other guys have more potential. That makes no sense. Like, what? Like, if you're NFL ready, how is that not potential? You know, like, you want longevity. You want somebody who's been doing it, you know, and for him, that's what he sleeps, eats, and he breathes. You know, he's a worldly talent, but also his work ethic and, you know, how he gravitates like that room. I challenged him that last year when Jackson went down, he had to take over as leader, and he did that. You know, he's not really vocal, but he became vocal, and you can see his personality start to come out as he started to play more. And, you know, for me, I mean, I think I would love to play with him again. I know I probably won't get that opportunity for a while, but, you know, I'm super, super proud of him. And man, who's up there, man, be smart, don't be dumb. Don't think too hard.
Houston trade with Arizona again. Go get him.
So this is good for, we all feel the same way, CJ, when it comes to Marv. This is what I think is going to happen next week at the NFL draft. It's going to go the way that we all thought it was going to go from the beginning. So I think Williams is going number one. I think Drake May is going to go number two. I think New England could be a trade out, but if they're not, I think they're going to go Jaden Daniels at three. And then Arizona, if there's not a trade out, then they'll take Marv. Now, they could trade with Minnesota, and Minnesota could come up and take JJ. I think that's in play, certainly. But I think Marv will be the first position player off the board who isn't a quarterback, and I don't think that's going to change.
Yeah, I think we've seen what we've acknowledged for many years now, and especially since they extended the draft here to late April, that the silly season just keeps going and things have to get thrown out. And it's people's jobs to cover the NFL draft, so they're constantly thinking and putting together things, and they're being told things by executives and other sources that they have. And it's, you know, how do you parse through what's real and what's fake so the things get reported? But at the end of the day, I think usually the first read is probably the most correct. So like you said, I if somebody trades up into that, yes, then another quarterback could go. I do think J.J. McCarthy's move up the board has been real, but I don't think it's been real enough that it's going to unseat that, you know, teams who want Marvin Harrison are going to still want Marvin Harrison. And I think the other wide receivers moving in front of him was, I don't know, weird pushback to not working out at Pro Day or the Combine, but he doesn't need to, like C.J. said. Put on the tape.
No, I saw Heartline put out the videos of him working at the Woody. They know what he is. The league knows what he is. Final hour up next. Jackets with their final regular season game of a pretty miserable season, but it did not stop you from attending. And a trend when it comes to the sports that are teetering when it comes to ratings, the professional sports of this country, they're teetering in ratings, but still delivering at the gate. We'll explain coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If your idea of the perfect radio show is all Buckeyes all the time, then it's your lucky day, Slappy. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, final hour here on a Tuesday. Shelly time coming up at 11:33. Jackets close out the string tonight at home. If you are not the NFL and you're not college football, women's college basketball, and certainly men's college basketball still delivers as well. But if you're not those, what we've seen over the last decade has been a slow recession of people watching your product on television. But what we've also seen is that you still really like to go to games. So this isn't, especially in a market like this one, and in markets like the one north of here and the one south of here, you're still going to games and you're going in a high number. Here's a good example of the juxtaposition of this. The NHL had two games on network this weekend. They had the Bruins and Pens on Saturday, and then they had blanking on the other one that followed. And the Bruins-Pens game did about 1 million, and the other game was around 870,000 or something like that. So those are that's like UFL numbers for perspective. It's a little better than UFL. So when you talk about major, the big four, it always used to be the big four pro sports in this country. It's really not. There's not much difference between the NHL and UFL and MLS.
Yeah.
And all of that stuff is kind of in the same area. It's 100,000 difference here or there.
And college sports are way ahead of all those leagues.
Oh, yeah, way ahead. Men's college basketball, even women's college basketball, the tournament is a whole nother animal, and because we love the brackets so much. And Major League Baseball is actually in that neck of the woods too. It's 1 million. It's around 1 million, 2 million is, you know, what it is. And on a national game of the week, it's low. It's just not there. But here's the other part of it. All of those entities, Major League Baseball has 81 home dates a year. The NHL and the NBA have 41 home dates a year guaranteed. Okay. So what we are seeing is that you're still going to games. We talk all the time about the at-home product and how great it is. People staying at home aren't choosing to watch these things unless it's your team in your market. There's still some interest in that, but they're still going to games. And this was from Porty over the weekend on the Jackets side of this. He wrote, for all their struggles on the ice, it's been a great season for the Blue Jackets at the box office. They've drawn 680,000 fans through 40 home games with the finale set for Tuesday tonight. Once the crowd is counted, it's the most fans the Jackets have drawn since 03-04. 712,000 fans attended games at Nationwide Arena. I asked you this, both of you guys this, because you are the target audience, right? Like, you guys don't have families at this point. Chops, obviously you're married. Reese, swinging. All of these things are happening. You guys would be the target audience. Come to a game on a given Tuesday, on a given Thursday, right? That's the target audience. And your people, your age, you're going, right? You guys are going. During the week, you're going. And the people are going to the games. So is it that people here, that the people who are locked in, love the hockey and go to the games, love the Blue Jackets? Or is it, this is the thing you do in the winter in town?
I think that's a big factor of it, because we talked about, you know, oh, flipping on your TV to a Blue Jackets game on a random Tuesday or Thursday night. Well, maybe you have an episode of a show you want to watch. Maybe there's something streaming here. Maybe there's another sports game on that you're more interested in. But we've talked about that, the splitting of interest because of how much is available right at our fingertips. But what's not available right at our fingertips at home is an experience of going somewhere and doing something that's fun. And that is available in the arena, the Nationwide Arena. Beats out the shot any day of the week. And when both teams aren't very good like they were this season, it's still a lot of fun to go. I've been to at least two games this year. I had a great time at both. I don't even remember if the Jackets won or lost, because I'm not really worried about the Jackets win or loss.
That's what I was curious about.
Right now, but I had a lot of fun, put on my Jackets sweater. We got some of the tall boys. It was Margaritaville night one of the nights. I was wearing a Hawaiian jersey over my Jackets sweater. It's a good time, because then you can go out to the Arena District either before or after. There's a lot available to you there. So I think that's it's how great the Arena District is for people to go to. That's a huge factor in this, because no, the Jackets have not given you a lot to say, oh, let's pack Nationwide every single game, but it's a fun place to be.
They had one game this season. It was the Cotton Bowl. They played the Maple Leafs, beat them in overtime. So I had the Jackets game on my eyeballs, and then I had the Cotton Bowl just on my telephone, which I turned off because it was the Cotton Bowl. Y'all saw how that game went, and it was fun. It's just, it's an expensive night out.
But it is.
Somehow, some way, fans are still deciding that my disposable income's worth this product. And live hockey is right up there with some of the most fun you can have.
It's the biggest discrepancy between TV and live of any sport.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
It's the biggest difference. It's the biggest, if you go, it's the biggest win. You could take someone who has no clue what's going on, and you take them to a game. You did. Loved it. Of course. Right, because, and they, by the way, it's a top-rate arena, which is remarkable because it's 20 years old. It's a spectacular arena. The game day experience is a 10 out of 10. They just crush all of it, from the music to the cannon to the everything that happens. It's perpetual motion. It is. You can't really not pay attention to it when you're there, even if the game doesn't go well.
No, and then to entice people to go there, especially when we're talking weeknights, the difference of getting off that one exit at Lane Avenue, Ohio State University, and getting to the shot versus the multiple ways you can get to the arena, Nationwide Arena, is crazy. So on a Tuesday night, I'm like, oh, somebody, one of our friends maybe calls us up and say, hey, I got some tickets tonight. It's Tuesday night. I didn't have this plan, but okay. I got to pay for parking, maybe buy myself a couple of slices of Jets pizza. Perfectly fine. Whereas if somebody invites me to the shot, I really have to think,
do I want to deal with it?
Yeah.
Do I want to deal with all of it? The NBA is in a similar state. You had this in Thing or Not a Thing. I think it's really noteworthy. For the second straight year, the NBA saw record numbers in attendance for regular season games. It drew roughly 300,000 more fans into arenas than it did last year. There were 873 sellouts. There 71% of the games were sold out. 12 teams sold out each of their true home games. The Cavs are among those that sold out each of their true home games. That's remarkable stuff, because it is a commitment and it's an expensive night, but people are still choosing to do that. What's interesting to me, though, is it does not transfer over. I think what is happening in Major League Baseball and the NHL is you still like going to the games. It's a thing to do, especially in a cold weather climate of these that are top 12. Boston. So it's Boston, Cleveland, Denver, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Philly, and Utah. So of the 12, 7 are cold weather. The other 5 were Dallas, Golden State, Miami, Phoenix, and who am I missing? Sacramento. Those are the 5, but 7 of them are cold weather. They're all winning franchises or have had winning teams. They're all
young stars teams that are fun to watch. Yeah,
yeah, for sure. But I think what's happening is NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball are kind of all gravitating to the same space, and that is, basketball is probably the furthest away from it still, the other two more closely associated. You care about your teams in your market. You do not care about games that are not involving your team. That's the biggest change in the last decade.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because like thinking about it as we're talking about like what I've done personally, again, a Blue Jackets offer, most of the time, yeah, I think I'll take you up on that. That sounds like a fun time. I like going down there. But even though I love the sport so much more, I have a much closer connection with Ohio State, and the Horseshoe is an awesome historic building. If somebody offers me tickets to an OSU game, and if it's not a marquee game, I might be like, I don't know. I got to get all the way down there. There's other games on that I want to watch the day. There's other, and the same thing with the NFL. Do I want to spend all day going down to Cincinnati or going up to Cleveland and going to a Bengals or Browns game? Or do I want to sit in my living room or at a sports bar and watch all of the games and spend a third of the money at least, like, you know, could be even none of the money if you're staying at home. And that's a big factor. Whereas when I go to a Blue Jackets game, I don't go, oh, but I wanted to watch the Rangers game tonight.
No, that's the difference. In the NHL and college football, you care about the whole league. Some of it with the NFL is the betting side of it. It's fantasy football for sure. There's some of that with college football as well. But the other thing with college football is you so rarely get like on like, right? So when you have a chance, that first month in September, yeah, we're going to watch every Buckeye game, go through it like a fine-tooth comb. But at the same time, none of it really matters. You're going to blow all of those teams out. It won't be until the Oregon game. But during September, I promise you this, there will be at least one or two games every single week. I mean, we pick the 10 best matchups every week when we pick college football games. When we do that in the fall, typical will be back with us to do that in the fall. When we do that, we pick the 10 most interesting games every single week. Okay, so what I'm saying is I will want to watch 10 games at least and be aware of what's going on in about 10 games. But I'm going to watch two or three, excluding ours, closely, locked in, and probably one where I watch the entirety of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I two or three screen college football these days.
So from a consumer standpoint, should we be nervous that Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA are going to see, especially the NBA, they're in a really interesting spot because the writing on the wall seems to be that at the very least, the new TV contract isn't going to be a huge boon for them and could even possibly be lower. Are prices in arena about to go up? Because we already talked about it's already an expensive night, but are they going to say, hey, these regional sport networks are falling apart. We're not, as the NBA, we're not getting as much from our national broadcast. Are we going to really have to prioritize our gate and make that the real money-making operator and go back to that being the big engine of the organization?
You'd be so careful with that.
I agree with you, Reese.
I know.
You'd be so damn careful. It's
so
almost
slippery.
But they want money. That's at the end of the day, that's what they're all looking for. How can I maximize the value of this team that we own?
You have to get the most that you can without it being a bitter pill to swallow. That's the needle they're threading.
And it's where's tough. The bitter pill line?
Because I wonder how, when I see prices at Nationwide, and when I saw prices at Nationwide, and I've continued to see, you know, their attendance for games this season, I wonder how much further can they price up things, given the product on the ice? Overall? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I would imagine most...
They got to be right at the... I would think.
I would imagine most people, you know, if you say you bring your family of four, that's definitely going to near an extra $100 already on concessions alone.
If you take if I were like take our family to sit at a jet, I mean,
you're sitting ringside, so
I guess my head I'm thinking I'm spending $500 if I took the whole family to a Jackets game.
Yeah.
By the time I buy tickets and hot dogs and merch, and I'm thinking it's $500.
Do you think
that probably doesn't have to be? I'm sure they still have like way, way up corners where you could maybe get by 200, but even cheapest, I think you're going to spend $200. You take a family of five.
Just call up your buddy Jody and say, hey, can we squeeze into your little box between the benches
and go
to the game tonight?
That's right. But it's a fascinating time in those sports, because the things that we're starting to see trending, because the one that pays the biggest bills is the TV. And those numbers are dwindling across all of them. All right, we have NBA action tonight. LeBron in a play-in game, plus a Browns legend did what? We'll get to that story coming up next. Bishop Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers. through your brain. Call today.
With friends like these, who needs former college football players? This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. We're brought to you by our good friends at Awaken 180, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Always good to have them along. The solution for weight loss, Awaken 180 Weight Loss. We had, this just popped up. I wanted to get to it. Masters ratings. I'll get to the Browns thing in a second. Under 10 million for the Masters, so that goes to the COVID era. Topping only the COVID era years of 2021 is the least watched in more than three decades, down 20%. Here's the real truth, that while there is a war being waged over the Saudi royal family trying to buy a sport, and they've bought a lot of it, a percentage of it, the reality is that none of these guys move the needle. None of them do. There's fewer and fewer casual golf fans than ever before, and none of these guys move the needle. Now, the crazy thing about the Saudi royal family and the PIF or whatever it is, they don't care, because it's not really about ratings for them. It's about buying a sport, and it's about buying influence. So you saw the story over the yesterday about Rory McIlroy considering an $850 million buyout from them to come in. By the way, I know how vehemently he is opposed playing on LIV. $850 million? Would anyone say no to that? I mean, what principal says no to $850 million? I don't care how principled you are.
Yeah, and that stops becoming about golf. Like, who cares?
It's not about golf. Yeah,
it's $850 million. There's a competitive nature to it, but like the reason you keep going along with golf is because there's a paycheck at the end of it if you become really, really good, and that's the ultimate paycheck, almost $1 billion.
Yeah, I mean, that's generational wealth. He's already probably has that, but it's every McIlroy for the rest of eternity is good. Is what that is. So that's crazy. But I do think that that is also in part why that sport is struggling, because there are a bunch of really talented players now. Scheffler's among them, Koepka, Thomas, Spieth, McIlroy, Rahm, certainly that Oberg kid looks like he's going to be a stud. There's a bunch of them, but none of them they're never all good at the same time. Dustin Johnson's another one. DeChambeau. They're never all good at the same time, because what's their motivation to be? Unless you're Tiger and you're fueled by a poster of Jack Nicklaus and his 18 majors on your wall as a kid, if you're not that and that doesn't fuel you, then what do you care? All these guys already have all of their money. They're good. Like, if you watch that Full Swing show on Netflix, I haven't watched all of it, but I watched some of it. Like, these dudes are private jetting. They're playing rounds with their buddies. They're gambling. Like, that's the lifestyle.
Yeah, because
they don't want to grind and go grind on tour to try to chase down Sam Snead or Tiger Woods.
Like, they probably prefer to make the cut, but yeah, how much of them are really pushing, like, oh, I'm in eighth. If I get to fifth, look at the payday that comes with that. So even as they've put in more of those things to start to entice you, and now we have more tournaments that are those bigger bags, Muirfield being one of them. Okay, so that might get guys a little bit, but then when you talk about, okay, I could scratch and claw my way through tournaments on the PGA Tour to get an extra few $100,000 by being in this place as opposed to a lower place finish, or I could just go play LIV, whatever that means, and they'll just give me $850 million. Now, not every guy's getting that, but we've seen the numbers from the other guys. They're all good numbers that are more than you're making pretty much in a career in PGA winnings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you do. You have a couple of rounds of golf, and then you just live.
That's why it's called LIV. Like, okay,
you don't actually have to grind. You live.
No, there's no grind to it at all. It's there's not a whole lot of interest in that.
Nobody wants to see that
also haven't been able to take away the majors, and it doesn't look like they're going to be able to do that. So then, okay, so I go play at random tournaments and live and still play the majors versus playing in random PGA tournaments and still playing in the majors. Those are the only ones they care about anyways.
2 weeks ago, like, all right, you're going to pay me exponentially more to do the same job. I'm going to work less, and it doesn't matter if I'm good or not. Yep, I'm in. That's what they did. That's what's happening. Did you guys see this? I had this in the tease. So the Browns obviously are going back to white face masks and a glossy orange helmet. So this is more the 80s era, the Kozar, that one. It's been talked about.
Eric Metcalf.
So Eric Metcalf, here's what I think happened. The Browns probably sent out a bunch of helmets to like legends, So Metcalf and Kozar and all of those guys, they sent him out helmets with the idea of, hey, here's what we're going to look. Here's your helmet. Thanks for being a Browns legend. And tomorrow, because tomorrow's supposed to be the day that they make all of this public, tomorrow, let's go ahead and post about it. And then Eric Metcalf posted it today. And this is what happens when, I mean, like, basically these guys, it's like my dad on social. These guys aren't quite old enough to be my dad, but they're kind of my dad on social, right? Like, he doesn't know what he's doing.
It's the old adage. If you want to keep a secret, don't tell anybody.
It's the greatest advice John F. I mean, Wolf
the Tyson ever chicken, gave me. The people there sent Matt Jones, friend of the mm-hmm. program and Kentucky sports radio host,
yeah.
the chicken care package minutes.
Yes.
And had it delivered minutes before, was it when the news broke or when
the press conference happened? 3 minutes
was ready.
The presser.
So mm-hmm. you could, with logistics, you can do it before an announcement scheduled. You don't need to have it there early anymore.
Plus, wouldn't it work like if everybody just posted the day that they got it and you made sure that the day that they got it was the release day for you?
And if you don't get it on the day and you get it the next day, well, sorry.
Well, then you can post a picture then. At least it's not jumping the
shark.
Thanks,
Browns.
As soon as those go in the mail or FedEx or DHL or UPS or whatever, as soon as that happens, at that point you have to announce it. Right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you got to do it.
So Metcalf jumping the shark on that. Maurice Hurst saying that they're going to Brazil. Got to get a handle on some of these things.
Browns legend Rashard Higgins or Hollywood Higgins is retiring as a member of the franchise today.
Does the GM get a new helmet with the white face mask, Bo?
I don't know. Maybe I'll find out today.
Have you ever put on a real Browns helmet? Has that ever been available to you?
No, I've not. I've not ever put on a real helmet.
I need you in a recruiting picture. I need you to put on all the
fully
Browns
uniform.
Just go out there. Yeah.
I could probably get that. They put a limit on that, right? In the NCAA, you can't do that anymore.
I think the parents aren't allowed to do it, or the kids.
Because they limited it.
I know you only do it like you're official.
I think they're not allowed to do it anymore. Like I think they can like give you a room with a backdrop and the uniform. I think that's how the rule changed. I don't think they're allowed to do photo shoots with you anymore. But there's probably, I think there were still ways around it. Like, if you really want to put on a jersey, there's a box over there.
You probably get it done. That's probably the way that works. We got a couple more. I know we've got Houston. We've got Detroit. Denver, from a new uniform standpoint in the NFL, all coming in the next week or so.
Houston's an interesting 22nd. One.
Yeah, they're going to wear the same stupid home uniform. They're not even going to change that, I saw.
Really?
Yeah, so they got a new road, which is pretty good. I mean, it's solid, and I know that they're going to go with an H-Town blue. It can't exactly be the Oilers blue, but it's going to be like that. More
you
like
can't
Ole Miss,
own
I think.
Light blue.
I don't Tennessee. Think so either. I don't know. Just change the Pantone one color. And then it's fine. By the way, speaking of Pantone, I heard this yesterday. I thought it was interesting. The Masters Green is the same Pantone as Starbucks and John Deere. They all use the same green. That's a lot of excellence associated with green. That exact shade.
Starbucks isn't that old, but John Deere and the Masters maybe just, there weren't that many greens available.
It could have been.
Back then, and that's what we had to go.
Sherwin-Williams wasn't mixing up as many back in the day.
Possible hot take, but is the Browns jacket actually ugly? Like, we can all agree with that, right?
Is the green jacket ugly?
Yeah. Like, if I didn't win the Masters, I would never wear that jacket.
You wouldn't wear a suit and pant combo with that. And there's really no pant that would like match it to where it looked good outside of winning the Masters.
Guess you got to go khakis if you're going to wear it.
You could go really light khaki. You could go black too. I think I think it's a lot like my stance on turkey being overrated. You don't see turkey on a menu. You don't see green jackets at clothers.
Right.
So that probably is the final say on all of that. Jody Shelley, one final game at Nationwide. We'll ask him what the deal is with this kid from Michigan who's signed this contract today. That's coming up next. Before I do that, though, let's go fourth. Do you want to do this now, Reese?
What better time?
Let's go fifth caller. Winner gets a family four-pack of tickets to Columbus Fury. It's the game on Friday the 19th. Please get, and we'll do that. Fourth caller at 821-9710. So that's what we'll handle that. You get the family four-pack of tickets to the game on Friday night. Shelley, time up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We are your radio home for the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. We may have a bit of a football problem.
Oh, yeah.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
drop the gloves. It's Shelly time.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing, proud partner of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
All right, here we go. One final time. We'll talk to you in the playoffs, I'm sure, provided you're willing to give us a little bit of your time, a little bit of Shelly time on the Brian Heating Cooling System fan guest hotline, my friend. The finale tonight. Boy, I saw these numbers from Porty. Most people through the turnstiles there since 03-04, despite a very disappointing season. What can you say as someone who's there for all of them about this fan base and the way that this city just has completely fallen in love with this team despite it not delivering on the ice?
Well, I fell in love with this city back in 2001, February 17th, 2001, Bo, and I didn't realize what I was a part of until I got to live here for a few months. And it is, if there's a metric to decide, to compare a sports city to Columbus and what sports mean to the city and how they get behind their teams, I would like to see it. I would say this town is number one because, you know, it's the passion. There's an excellence, of course, in winning. That's not with this organization yet, but they know that this is their team, and it's remarkable, man. It's something to be proud of here. I think it's something that we know in Central Ohio that we know we live in a special city, and our fans are tremendous, and we see them everywhere. We don't just see them in Columbus. We see them. We see kids that have moved away, Arizona, St. Louis. It doesn't matter what town we're in. I get a story or a comment or interaction with fans or people that just travel to the away games. Just, you know, they're proud, wearing their jerseys. It's a special feeling, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it is. It's awesome. Those numbers are just absolutely stunning. And hopefully this summer, whoever's in charge will start to get the product on the ice to a point that kind of matches it. In terms of this last month here, you've had a lot going on from an injury standpoint, and then we've had the Rims retirement tour, and I'll get to that with you in a second. But in terms of what you've seen on the ice, how satisfying or not satisfying has this last month been? Have you, knowing that you weren't going to play in the postseason, we've known that for a very long time, or even be in the chase for that, has this team gotten what it needed to get out of the last month?
I mean, they haven't got wins, which is too bad, but there have been moments where you've seen, like, to me, a guy like Malatesta has taken advantage of an opportunity to play here. You know, a guy who's played in Cleveland, who's 20 years old, who got his first game goal last game. Werenski now is playing that game that we like to see. I would say yes. If I'm going through player by player, it doesn't matter what's going on in the past or what's happening in the future. When you're playing a hockey game, it doesn't matter. Like, we play... You can go play pickup hockey. It always is competitive. You always bring your best. And I think Pascal Vincent has done a good job making sure that even, like, through tonight, this is important for the fans here at home to get up, to end on a good note. And I think that's how you operate. It's a day-to-day operation, evaluating in this time of a kind of a big transition in the organization. So I would say yes. I mean, how do you get more out of it? You prepare and you push. And you evaluate and you test, and I think they've done a good job of that. So initially, when you talk about the injuries, of course, you know, you can make those excuses, but I've seen the effort, I've seen the engagement, and more importantly, I've seen a lot of evaluation. Just seeing and listening to the coaches a little bit briefly on talking about players and what they see, I would say yes. I mean, it's almost been like a training camp's a long time away. And you miss the regular season, and you're so upset that you're not in the playoffs, of course, once they start on Saturday. But I think that, you evaluate. Training camp has started already for this team in a real strange sense, if you understand what I'm saying, because it's a clean slate at camp, but right now everyone's built up some currency in their account, but some guys maybe they know they won't be here next year, and that's just how the lay of the land works in pro sports.
Jode, explain to our audience this: what's happened with Brindley. So he's playing tonight, and now it's an NHL. Just because we don't see this in other sports,
right? So he had the option to go back to Michigan next year, and he's done a tremendous job there. He's a star at Michigan last year and this year. But him and his agent Pat Prisson. Talk with the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets want him to come in here. It's going to burn a year of his contract, which is fine. But it gives him, it gets him in the organization and on the path for the offseason to come into camp and be a piece of this franchise next year. And it's a big deal for the kid himself. I mean, he just finished his college season. He was probably hanging out and partying with his buddies in Michigan until yesterday when he got a call from his agent. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, you're going to sign with the Blue Jackets. That means you're turning pro. That means you're no longer allowed. You're ineligible to play NCAA. And so his pro career starts tonight at Nationwide Arena. He's going to play one game and then be on a path with a pro summer. He'll be here in June for the development camp, and then he'll be on a trajectory to be a part of the lineup if he can be to start the season next year. And that's, you know, it's a great move. You see, a few other organizations have done it with their draft picks, where they've pulled them, enticed them to get out of college and come play. Mm-hmm. So the Blue Jackets think he's ready. And that's why he's here, because they've watched him closely. They think he's ready to make the jump. And ultimately, it was his decision, but he's excited to be here today.
So I've seen some people critical of it, that you basically burn a year of a contract. The Jackets' feeling, obviously, then is, that's fine. We want control of him now. Is it just that simple?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know if it's that simple, but... You know, if a player's not ready, you let him go back to college for another year. But I don't think that doesn't matter to me. I think if you think a player's ready and is your prospect, you get him in the lineup and you get a hold of him and you get him in the pro lifestyle. So, you know, that, of course, there's two sides of everything. But that's not how the Blue Jackets feel about it. They're totally fine with burning a year of his contract. They'll have him for 2 years, and hopefully they have to pay him a lot of money in 2 years because he's that kind of player.
All right, this is it for Rims. I know he's doing the lineup card. I just saw that in the last couple minutes.
He is. And, I've seen the man really get emotional. Really, he's a humble guy. And it's never about Jeff. And it's been about Jeff here for the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this is his last game. This is his last call of his 40-plus year NHL career. And it'll be emotional. We're going to give him the last 6 minutes. We're going to do a box-in. We're going to box him up on the TV tonight so you can watch him call his final 6 minutes of his career. And
oh, that's awesome.
It'll be special. And he didn't know he was going to read the lineup card. And Pascal Vincent, at the end of the press conference, told him, we'd be honored if you would come in the room tonight and get the boys pumped up. So Jeff's fired up about that. He's overwhelmed with the notes and the comments and the feedback he's gotten in the past little while. But today is going to be emotional. It's going to be, he's had a great career. It's time. He knows it's time, but he's going to miss this because, you know, game day routine, he is a guy that works and is around and gets names to name drop, and he does it all. So he's connected. So it's not the last we'll see of him, but it's the last time we'll hear his voice, and I'll miss him personally. Just because he's been such a pro for me and a good guy to learn and to work with. So it'll be a lot of good endings, so this will be a great one.
When did you realize you and him would have the chemistry you did? Because I remember the very first game you two did going, oh, boy, this is great. Like, I remember vividly tweeting about it.
I always teased him when I was a player, like anyone that knows Jeff. Mm. There's so many good stories. You got time for a story?
Yeah.
So he was on the bus one day, and at the front of the bus, and he was talking to Dennis Potvin. So I walk on the bus at the front of the bus, and he's like, okay, Dennis Potvin. And so I take a few more steps, and he says, oh, you're right, Dennis Potvin. And I turn around, he's looking at me, and then I'm at the back of the bus, and I sit down, and I hear him say, okay, talk to you later, Dennis Potvin. And I couldn't help myself, so I said, Rims, who was that? all the guys on the bus are waiting. He turns around, stands up, he goes, that was Dennis Potvin. that's the kind of teasing we've had. And so, and he was very inviting to me, Bo, when I got in the booth. He really, I mean, it wasn't about work your way in, buddy. He had respect for me, and that's a big deal when you get to work with someone on TV. So Yeah, and those stories don't stop. I got thousands of those.
That's so great. That is so, so great. Thank you for sharing that. Look forward to the broadcast one last time, the two of you. And I know myself and many of us here in Central Ohio and a Blue Jackets Nation will be watching tonight. Have fun with it, buddy, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, anytime you want to talk, call me, Bo. It's great being on with you. I appreciate it. You do a great job with this, and enjoy the game tonight, and have a great day, buddy.
All right, pal. The great Jody Shelley with a little bit of Shelley time on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Three things on a Tuesday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Bye, the meatloaf!
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Reese. What do you have on the poll?
Daily Fan Poll sponsored by ER Auto Care, masters of our craft. The Daily Fan Poll asks, the Blue Jackets, who currently have the fourth best odds to win the NHL's draft lottery next month. The Fan Poll asks, do you think the CBJ will end up in the top three or fourth and lower? Right now, 75% say they're going to end up with a pick fourth or worse. Top three is getting 25% of respondents.
They're going to pick first in one that doesn't matter.
What's the farthest?
Like, no generational talent, that's when they'll pick first.
So they're in two. The furthest they can fall is five, right? You can fall three.
No, they're four.
They're four.
They're four. Oh, they're worst in the East, but there's three teams west. San Jose, Anaheim.
Yeah.
One more out there that are worse. But they're the worst team in the East. But they'll win it. You watch. They'll win it in a year when it's just a dude. I mean, it's always good to pick high, but, like, it's not going to be... Not the Bedard situation.
Yeah.
All right, time for three things on a Tuesday.
One, two, three things.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. And we had this in the show a couple of times and just didn't have a chance to get to it. But I did want to bring mention of, I think it's pretty damn cool that LeBron and Steph and Durant and all of those guys are going to play in the Olympics this summer one last time on a dream team. I think it's fantastic. I do wonder, like, if any of them, like, if this is it, will they shut it? Like, LeBron's 39. Would that be it? Like, go win a gold medal and then shut it down? I think it's all in play. First time he's ever talked about his mortality. He's still so good, but, like, they're never going to win anything in L.A.
First one for me. So I like to keep my keys together on a carabiner instead of one big ring, a carabiner. So you can open it up and take off a ring if you're giving it to the shop or you need to grab your house key for just something. I like it. But my carabiner had broken. It was a mini one. It was a little bit smaller. So it was kind of a specific thing that I wanted. I'd looked at some stores, you know, whenever I was in like a Target or something, I'd be like, hey, do they have anything? No. And Jayla was like, well, should we just order one online? I was like, no. These little things like this, these little carabiners, they just kind of show up. The one I had previously that broke, I didn't buy it. It just came with something else. And then I took this set of Iowa glasses from my parents' house for the bar out of my garage, and we took them out of the box. For some reason, wherever they came from, the shipment came with a little carabiner. And now I have a new working carabiner. I told Jayla, just wait. Little carabiners find you.
It's so funny. I don't even know that was the word to describe those. I've never heard that word before in my life.
Oh, really?
Said it. Yeah.
So, some portal news. Former Ohio State running back Dallin Hayden has heard from Colorado, Auburn, Louisville, UCLA, Virginia Tech, and Georgia Tech since putting his name in the transfer portal. This is from On3, which continues. Ohio State defensive back Cedric Hawkins plans to enter the transfer portal. 6 foot, 188-pound defensive back from Florida is going to have 4 years of eligibility left. He was a four-star recruit in the class of 2023.
This is how this is going to go. There's going to be a slow bleed of guys, and then maybe a little bit of a waterfall, and then it'll settle down. Number two for me, so this came across my timeline, a TV writer I enjoy, a critic, Alan Sepinwell, enjoy his reviews a lot. He's now at Rolling Stone. He had a story yesterday that Bluey could be ending.
Oh, no.
So I hit Bootsy with that last night. Near tears. Near tears. Like, we've watched Bluey. It's great, by the way. It's fantastic. Like, you forget the cartoon part of it. Like, just... the lessons, all of it, everything they're trying to do in the episodes, it's incredible what they get. But we started watching that in COVID because it's like new content. And that's when it kind of like took out.
Why would they stop it?
I don't know, maybe just people are tired. I don't. It's done out of Australia, but it's one of those things where, like, I don't know, maybe they're just tired of doing it or not, but they Sebmo was writing that the most recent last episode of the season could very well be the final. It sets up that way.
Did it wrap it up nicely? Or
I haven't seen the episode.
Did Bluey turn on his kingdom and
Bluey turned on her
dragon?
She turned on. No, she did not turn on her kingdom. She did not all of a sudden decide to indiscriminately eat all of her people. No, there was none of that.
Yesterday, it was so nice out, obviously. So I did a fair amount of yard work. And after that, I was sitting there and J-Lo texts me. She's like, oh, I've got a nail appointment. Do you just want to meet at the El Vaquero patio? And I was like, don't twist my arm. That sounds perfect. You know, I took my shower. I wore shorts to dinner yesterday and sat outside. It was so awesome. But remember, this is fall summer. We just got through our bout of fall spring, and now we're already into fall summer. It'll go back down to the 50s and 60s. It will happen.
Are you sure you want to do, was it El Vaquero you said?
Yes.
And not the official grill and bar sponsor of the NFL, Applebee's?
I used to work at Applebee's, so I'm pretty familiar with the bees.
That was announced earlier today. Applebee's is the official grill and bar sponsor of the National Football League, leading everybody to ask, oh, they cook their food or they just microwave it?
What is your, so Applebee's used to be like a, I mean, it's still nice. What was your go-to?
The quesadilla burger. If we ever go there now, I still get that. The quesadilla burger is great. They actually have decent burgers for them. That's the one that they like try to never freeze and everything. So, there are definitely microwaves in the kitchen. I will say that, Reese.
In college, every Sunday we would go to Applebee's and I'd get a riblet basket, like book it. I don't even know if it's still on the menu, but that was it every single Sunday. Finally, for me, man, I'm going to be listening to Rims tonight. He's the best. I remember I got so many memories with him, especially when I was at Channel 10 the first time around, when I would go to so many of the games and cover them. But one of my fondest memories is I had taken, at the time I called him the coach, now NBC, his actual name is Payton, he's 12. He's probably 2 or 3, and I had taken him to the arena, and Rims saw it and pulled him in and sat him in his chair and put his headset on him and let us watch like a little bit of him calling a game in the booth. Just a gracious guy and the best, and really one of the great representations of the franchise. He's right there at the top. So have a great call tonight, Rims.
Reddit College Football pointed this out, but they really need to get a handle on it. It's becoming even more confusing because the Pac-12 is disappearing. But the Big Ten tweeted and then quickly deleted, apparently, in celebration of Big Ten legends getting drafted last night in the WNBA draft. Problem is, Charisma Osborne played for UCLA, and Mackenzie Forbes and Caitlin Davis, who are both in this graphic, all three of them are in this graphic, played for USC. Well, they didn't play any Big Ten basketball. But then who does claim them? Is the Pac-12 putting out a graphic of all their... They don't even exist. But we've had this problem where all of a sudden Nebraska games from the 90s or Big Ten Classic replay. Somebody's got to come up with a rule about... And it's only after they join the conference that you get to stake claim to it.
I think the Big Ten can start claiming USC right after OJ left.
Everything after
everything
that's
else,
good.
We'll take all the USC history. Post
national championship, that'd be fine.
That's
You could take USC right after OJ left and be like, I don't think he did anything else for the rest
just
of his
no
life.
No OJ, that's no it. More OJ.
Other than that, we'll take it.
This from On3 again, as the basketball transfer portal is still open in college hoops. Toledo transfer guard Raheem Moss has cut his list of 4 schools: Oregon, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Ohio State. The 6'4" junior averaged 15.5 points this past season with the Rockets. So, talk about a guy that can make a lot of things happen on the court, including that 3 ball.
That would be a nice addition. All right, Rothman and Ice up next. We're back tomorrow. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
The Big 9 was a sad, incomplete place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan. This is a Fan Action Update.
This NBA Action Update's brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. NBA postseason starts tonight. The winner of the Lakers-Pelicans game tonight will get the second-seeded Nuggets in the first round. Pelicans are a 1.5-point favorite. Then in the 9-10 game, it's Golden State and Sacramento. Winner stays alive, loser's done. Warriors are a 3.5-point favorite. Steph Curry over under total points tonight, 29.5. For your Tipico Action Update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes and water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
The Fan. Sports Center.
And I'm Timmy Hall. Happy high noon. The WNBA draft was the thing last night. We saw two Buckeyes go in the top 15 to make for a pretty cool night. Dublin's own J.C. Sheldon, she went fifth overall, two ahead of a star like Angel Reese. Sheldon went to the Dallas Wings, and Celeste Taylor went 15th overall to the Indiana Fever, where she'll team up with the number one overall pick, Caitlin Clark. Baseball guards took down the Red Sox 6-0 on Patriots Day yesterday. The Reds got shut down 9-3 in Seattle. Reds and Mariners go again tonight at 9:40. Guards and Sox play at 7:10 in the NBA. Play-in games are happening now. You have the Lakers at the Pelicans at 7:30. The Warriors at the Kings at 10 o'clock. The Cavs get to sit around until Saturday for their first-round matchup, which will have them taking on the Orlando Magic at home in Game 1. And the Jackets finish up their season tonight hosting the Hurricanes. We'll have it here. This one's sponsored by Nature Stone. Schedule your...
Atlas Butler Plumbing Services. Keeping things flowing. Like water through your pipes. And water down your drains.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And phone numbers through your brain. Call today.